Yeah.
Took yoga. Nice. Hung out with my dog, and now we're here. All right, we're live. Nice. What's up, Max? How are you, brother? Good to
I'm
see
good.
You.
I'm good. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good.
Finally here. I've been asking for about, I think, 17 fights straight. When am I getting on the
We tried to organize it a couple of times, but... Man, man, you live on an island in the middle of the ocean.
I know.
It's a little, it's a different thing, you know, logistically.
I know, but you finally made it happen.
Yes, you finally made it happen.
You're the man, I can't wait.
So how you doing, man? Everything all right?
Everything good.
Walking good?
Well, I'm walking great.
Yeah,
I'm walking
you look great. Totally fine.
Oh, yeah, I told you guys, I was... I had an after party after the fight. I was booging. I was doing the power slide. Yeah. Chain Smokers, they was actually at XS. They had their concert thing at XS, and they brought me up into their booth, and I was trying to get him to let me jump on and off the stage with him because he looked like he was having fun.
That's amazing, man, because your left leg, it looked like, at least during the fight, it was getting busted up.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's...
You're just used to it.
Yeah, it is what it is, you know. Yeah. I got to watch the fight a little bit over, you know. And talking about the fight, a lot of people actually about the press conference when I said I thought I won. I think so. People is taking it the wrong way. A lot of his fans is taking it the wrong way. It's like when I was in there in my mind, I thought I won because when you think about it, I thought I was landing more damaging shots to the head and body, you know. I know leg kicks he was landing here and there, but I didn't think it was too much until after I saw whatever happened, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, it's like, it's what I said. I just, my legs felt fire. I went to the after party. I danced. And if I put it in this way, you know, of out of all my title fights, this is the least damage I took in a title fight. And I lost my belt, so...
You mean like to the face and to the body?
Yeah, to the face and to the body, you know? And he hit me with some of the... I know he was landing some leg kicks and some was power. But then a bunch of other ones, I thought so was like, you know, I didn't know that it was landing that much to that extent. And then again, this is not a street fight, you know?
Right,
it's not a street fight. It's a game, and he helped point me in the game. So, you know, good for him.
Yeah, it's an interesting game when it comes to scoring, right? Because, like, what should be scored more, punches or leg kicks? Like, you know, it's hard. Like, leg kicks are damaging. They mean a lot. I mean, fights have been stopped on leg kicks, you know. But Barboza, I think, stopped two
yeah,
people
yeah,
with leg
people,
kicks.
Yeah, two people, I think, yeah.
Yeah. But it's just, I think the system sucks, the 10-point must system. It's boxing system.
Yeah,
it's not our system.
Yeah, yeah.
We shouldn't have that system.
Yeah.
We should have a more comprehensive system that recognizes everything.
And then sometimes it's weird too, you know, especially like, technically my fight, but like other fights, like you see people who stick and move nice and this and that, and just because the guy is walking forward, he's winning the fight. Like,
right,
you know,
right.
Like, you see them get into, you see people get into scuffles, and then one guy bounced back, it looks like he's retreating, but he's actually not. He landed more in the scuffle, and since he bounced back, they're like, oh, I think that guy that was staying there was actually winning the fight. So it's what you said. It's just super, like, you know, some guys, like, they favor a little bit more thing than another thing. And
I think there's a real problem with judges not even being martial artists.
That's why.
That's a giant problem.
That's why Burt Watson say, Don't leave this shit to judges. Don't
yeah,
make
but
cry,
that's
baby.
Easier said than done.
It is, I mean, especially when you're fighting the best guys in the world,
yeah,
too. You
can't,
know?
You can't expose it. It's not smart. It's not a smart way to fight. You know, the way you're fighting is the best way to fight. But the judges should at least have some martial arts experience. And I know there's a bunch of them that have never even fucking trained.
They just took
some courses.
I was talking to some people. Was talking to that was behind the scenes. Was talking to... They came from the DC. It was the DC event in front of ours on, y'all? And some of the commission there at the DC event was like, I heard was crazy. Like, some people was just not like...
They didn't know anything?
Yeah, not supposed to be there. I was like, what is going on? And like, to put it in perspective for people out there, it's like, you know, like, this is all I do for a living.
Right.
It's all I do. So like, to me, I got to put the trust in someone that doesn't know what they're doing when I'm over here sacrificing my time. It's kind of hard, you know? I'm not talking about... My fight again. I'm just talking about other people.
Yeah, like, anytime there's a bad decision.
Fights, you know, it's just tough, you know.
It's horrible. It's horrible, and they don't do anything about it. And there's people that have put in bad decision after bad decision, and then you see them still being listed as judges. And you're like, this is crazy. Like, I want to ask them questions. I want to show them a video.
I know. I heard after the last time we was inside, right before I did my press conference and stuff, I heard you go, who is judging this? We need to fire everyone.
They do need to fire everyone. They, you know what they should do, man? They should hire ex-fighters.
They should. I talked to Frank Trigg before he moved off to Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
and he was trying to become a ref. He's refing, and now right. he finally got to Bellator and UFC. I think so. He just did UFC for the first time a couple months ago. And I was telling him, like, why would they not just let you put in there? There's like, oh, there's a time system. You need to do this. I was like, you, like, fought for a championship belt in the highest organization. What? Who in the right mind is being like, yeah, this guy's not qualified? I would want you sitting or judging my fights. 100%, you know what I mean? Like,
100%.
Like, just because someone, okay, maybe they did take a class, but it's like license, you know? Yeah. Just because you drive pass your license test doesn't mean you should be allowed to drive on the road,
well,
you know?
You know what it's like? It's like passing a written test but never having driven a car.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it's like. Exactly. Here's your driver's license. You don't even know how to fucking hit the gas. You don't know how much brake you should apply. When you see some of these people that are judging, you know they've never done anything. They've never done anything. They don't have any idea what's going on. They just have a cursory understanding of fighting, and that's not acceptable for the highest level of the game.
Yeah,
there's so many ex-fighters that would make amazing referees or judges, and I don't have much of a problem with referees. There's a lot of great referees, but there's so many people that could be great judges. There's so many super fans out there that have been training their whole life that just. They're really, really into the sport.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these judges, rather, they're not even fans.
Yeah.
They're just people that are doing it for a job. They're getting a paycheck.
And then getting to watch the fights for free live, you know, front row.
And they don't even care. Like, they're not even fans. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's funny. Yeah, like you said, like the fans, I actually think of, what is his name? I'm brain farting right now. Joe, the old matchmaker.
Joe Silva,
yeah. I actually think, you ever heard his story of how he got to work for the UFC?
Yes.
That's when you were saying, like, they're super fan. Like, he's one of the guys.
He was a super fan.
He shot.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe Silva was the, guys, shout out to Joe Silva.
Shout out to Joe Silva.
He was the first guy that actually, like, shot his shot.
Yeah.
He told me I heard his story. He told me his story in person. Like, he wrote down, he told me what he did. He wrote a letter to UFC, this and that, and, like, what he think he should change, this and that, and then they called him up and be like, hey, would you like to come on? We like your ideas. And then the dude got set up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, wow. Joe Silva's the first shot shooter, guys.
Yeah. Well, he's a legit fan. I mean, still is to this day.
Yeah,
you know,
yes,
he made enough money. He retired. He's a smart man. He just said, fuck this. I'm out. Yeah. I don't want to work like this anymore.
Why?
Yeah.
You was a part of business when they got bought out. You might as well chill with your family, you know?
Yeah, he just decided to just lay back, build himself a nice house.
I know, even that, like, what is his story is so mean, like, there's, like, saying, like, oh, yeah, you got to move here, this and that. He's like, nope, I can do it from home. I was like, Joe, you are a boss. Joseph is a boss. When he's telling me, like, my gosh, Joe, you're a boss.
It's a hard gig setting up fights. Well, MMA fights in particular, because guys get injured so much more than in boxing.
In anything. That's one thing that I like talking to people or telling people. They're like, oh, there's so different of this and that and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, guys, boxers, MLB, NBA, what NFL, they have their set schedule. They have a set schedule. Like, I can sit down. LeBron can sit down before a year, right when they announce their first regular season. He know exactly where he's going to be the whole year. Boxers do the same thing. They know exactly, we're going to fight this month and this month. They don't know the opponent's name, but after a fight, they already kind of know who they're fighting, you know? MMA fighters, they're like, don't you know what's going on? I was like, I have no clue.
Right. Well, almost fought Khabib for the title
on
super short notice?
Or 6 days.
Did you weigh when you were trying to get down to 55 and they stopped you?
When they stopped me?
What did you weigh when you started?
I was when we got the call. When I got there, when I checked in, I was already the day before weight check. I'll tell you what I was the day of the weight cut. I was 170.
170 the day of the weight cut.
And I'm not gonna tell you the exact number I was before they stopped me, but I was like in reach. Like, I was right there. But
why did they stop you?
They came in the room, they looked at me, they said, oh yeah, you don't look good. Yeah, we're cutting it. I was like, what? I was like, what? I feel good. Let's do it. You know, it was right there. And then that's just what they said, you know, and it is what
it
is.
They had a real problem with New York in the beginning, I mean, especially. There's a lot of people that just weren't prepared for MMA.
Yeah, I mean, the New York cards, period, don't have a lot of luck at all. No. Every time you see Wen, something happened. I heard them they're going back to Brooklyn, whatever. Where is Tony fighting? Tony in
Brooklyn.
Is fine. Yeah. Why? Why not just fight in Vegas or something?
Well,
they had
a Brooklyn card already scheduled, and that was a good fight, and so they put it in there.
Yeah, you know? I know. But
God, you got to keep Tony away from cables the day before the fight. Tony, just someone needs to just be around him all the time, just ready to catch him. Yeah. Just please, man. This is the fifth fucking time they scheduled this fight.
Hey, that's, you know, crazy. What they say, right? Fifth time's the charm.
It's a great fight, though. I love the fight.
I can't wait. I'm excited.
Stylistically, I think he's the best guy that Khabib's ever faced because he can fight off his back.
Yeah.
He's a guy that doesn't survive off his back. He attacks off his back.
And he's a guy that he throws a lot of weird things from weird places. Like, it's hard. Like, people don't understand it. Like, it's very hard when you fight someone weird and awkward, even spar them, because you try to get something, and then he's just like, bang, he hits you with an elbow, but his head is, like, by the ground. It's like, what are you doing, Tony? You know, like, how did I get hit by an elbow? I thought your head is over here.
He's the most unorthodox high-level guy ever.
Yeah, he's good. He's real good.
He's real good. At his level, though, because I consider him a world championship caliber fighter.
For sure.
At his level, I don't know of anybody that's more unorthodox than him.
For sure.
His fucking cardio, man. His cardio is crazy.
Off the chain.
Off the charts. I've never seen anybody with cardio like that. I don't know what the fuck it is. Do you think that's genetic?
Yeah, 100%. I think you gotta have it. Like, everybody keep telling me, oh, you gotta. It's just like knockout power. Like, you can't build it, but some people just have it. Like, I was talking to my friends, I got a little Japanese friend. He's with me on my corner all the time. My wrestling coach. He helped me a lot, Michael Nakagawa. And I tell him all the time, like, this dude is a little 125 pound, you know what I mean? 115 pound guy. Pretty much a little girl, I tell him all the time. I'm like, you're a little girl. If anything, like, there was this one time we was out and about, and this guy was just acting crazy. This is like a couple years back, and I was at the UFC, but we was at one of the UFC events. I forget what event we was at, but we was doing something. It was a big thing, and it was at a party, and then this one Asian dude was just like getting all crazy in people's faces, like crazy drunk, and blah blah getting in his face. And this is how hard my friend punches. I tell him, guy, I would crack him, but I'm scared. I'm not going to put him to sleep. I know if you punch him, he's going to go knockout. So you go hit him. And he wouldn't hit him, though. He wouldn't hit him, but he punches so hard. Like, he's the smallest guy in our group. Like, even one time we was at home in Waikiki walking, and there's this drunk guy. And there's, like, five of us, and he's the smallest guy in the back. And we're all walking in, like, almost a line. And this big guy, he slips everybody. Little guy last, he bumps him hard. And I look at him, I'm like, what are you? And then he goes to the little guy. He turns to my friend and be like, what? And my friend goes, what? And then he's like, okay, nothing. And he walks away. And then I told him, we was hanging with this new guy. This guy just was hanging out with us. I told him, that is the wrong guy to bump into, because out of everyone here, he probably one punch knock you out, and he's the smallest guy. This is it. I think it's just genetics.
It's punching power is definitely a genetic thing. Like, look at Wilder. Look at Deontay Wilder. Like, there's no
genetics.
Way. Yeah, there's no way you can teach that kind of
200,
power.
200, what is it?
215?
215, and he's cracking.
Flatlining people on the forehead.
No, yeah, but he's like killing people. Like, this is not guys who's getting flash KOs and waking up.
No,
Wilder is different. That he could wake up, you know what I mean? But everybody else he hits, they're like,
they go flying.
Like, did you not see that video that they made of his last fight that the soul came out?
Yes. But that's what it's like, man. That's what it's like when he hit Ortiz on the fucking forehead, man. He hit him on the forehead.
Yeah, he hit him in the chin. That's how you know you hit hard. You just hit different.
Yeah, but he does it to everybody. When you look at his record, he's got 40 knockouts in 42 fights. One decision and one draw. 40 knockouts in 42 fights. Fucking crazy.
And then when you look at it, he's like he's huge. He's 200, but he's skinny. Yeah, you know,
but he's
like
very thin.
Like you would be like, he's a skinny dude, you know. And
like if you looked at Anthony Joshua, like
when you would think he would knock out people.
He would knock out everybody, especially before he fought Ruiz the first time.
Yeah.
He was super jacked. He got a little more lean after the first fight, but yeah, he's big. Like, do you remember Frank Bruno?
Frank Bruno
was a boxer from England that was like one of the biggest guys ever, and Mike Tyson fucked him up. This big giant dude though, he was so big, he was like built like a bodybuilder. You thought he would just flatline people, and Mike Tyson just smushed him.
Genetics.
Yes, that's we're
talking about genetics.
Genetics.
Did you not see the video of Mike Tyson showing Ngannou?
Yes.
How to slip, like, woo, woo, woo. I was like, guy.
In his 50s. Yeah.
Come on, guy. Why are you moving like this?
Teddy Atmos told me that when he was 13 years old, Tyson weighed 190 pounds.
What?
He brought him to smokers. Yeah, it was true. He brought him to smokers, and they would go, "How old is this kid?" He goes, 13. He goes, "Get the fuck out of here. He's 16. And he's like, "I'm telling you, he's 13. They would put him in with 16-year-olds because they wouldn't believe him. They didn't believe he was 13.
You sure you didn't do that from, what is that called? What is that one movie? That one movie, that baseball movie, Benchwarmers, when he's like, "I'm 13.
Oh, right, right. No, Tyson, it's real. Yeah, man, genetics are real. There's him with Ngannou. Look at that.
Watch this. Watch this move.
He looks like such an elder statesman, too, you know, with his beard.
Yeah. Yeah, and then watch when he does his slip thing. Where is his slip one?
Oh, I think that was a different one. That was him. Was it? Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Bring it from the beginning. Put it from the beginning, Jamie.
Whoop! 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 Whoop!
Yeah, he's showing him angles.
This guy is a beast.
Well, you know, Ngannou is thinking about fighting in boxing.
For real?
And yes. And I think that's not a bad idea, because the boxing heavyweight division is like, it's very good at the very top.
Uh-huh.
There's like four or five really, really good guys. But I think he could murk motherfuckers on the way up, and he'd probably make a shitload of money.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 100%.
Now that UFC is getting involved in boxing, I don't think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
But he's got to get past Rozenstruik. Rozenstruik's a scary fucking dude. That thing he did to Alistair's lip, I've never seen a cut that bad before.
Oh, yeah. That one with 5 seconds left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. That just shows you how nuts the sport is, right? Alistair's winning the fight on points. He's scoring. He's fighting smart. And he just has a mental lapse.
Games of inches, seconds, millimeters. You know, just... You just cannot, you know? Like, every time, like... That's the hardest thing of being in a fight. You just got to be on.
Yeah.
You gotta just keep, because there's sometimes like, oh, I'm just gonna just do, boom.
Right.
Five seconds left. Winning the whole fight. On the scoreboard, he's winning.
Yep.
They showed it.
Yep.
How sick is that to watch after going that far, you 5 seconds away from the final bell, and then you're going home with a fat cut, you probably need like 400 stitches on that lip.
Yeah.
Your lip not gonna ever look the same.
Look at that lip. Look at that picture. That is
goddamn
crazy. That is, without a doubt, the nastiest fucking injury I've ever seen in this sport. I mean, I'd almost rather get a broken leg than that.
Oh, no. Definitely not.
Almost. Like Anderson's broken leg.
Oh, no,
look
never,
at that, though.
Ever.
Look at me smiling. That motherfucker.
Oh, my gosh.
Alistair takes a loss. You take a loss better than anybody. But Alistair's right up there.
It is what it is. It's living. It's life.
I love that saying, though. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's life.
It is life. It's life.
Anyway, after the fight, we were walking around with me and my son the next day Sunday. I'm walking into New York. There's Hawaiian. I love Hawaiians. I love my Hawaiians. They're the greatest fans in the world. She comes up to me and she rubs my back and she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, boy," and blah, blah. I'm like, "For what?" She's like, "You lost your fight." I'm like, "Andy, I'm alive. I didn't die. It's okay. You know, we're going to get the belt back. You know, it's just a fight. It's one fight. We be back." But yeah, a lot of people talking to me like it's my funeral or something. I'm like, "Guys, I'm okay. I'm going to be back. I didn't take no real damage. I'm just happy that I'm not injured and out for a long time. And I can get back to do what I love in. And that's punching people in the face." So... At the end of the day, I'm happy. You know, like I said, I didn't need the belt to be a champion. I know I'm a champion. The belt was just to let people know that, look, I'm one of the greatest guys to ever do it, you know. And my plan is to be one of the greatest of all time. And whoever you guys think it is, let me know. I'll go knock on the front door right now and be like, "Hey, let's set something up."
Yeah, well, you just need to make some adjustments for a rematch. I mean, exactly. The whole thing was him attacking your legs.
Yeah.
He was getting close. It was a smart strategy.
Yeah.
It was real good.
Game of inches, yeah. You know? Yeah. He did what he did. You know, like we said, it's not a street fight. It's not a street fight. He did the points. No, he's nice.
You switch better than anybody. You're really good at switching while you're fighting. You switch stances. You switch orthodox. But you were forced at certain times in the fight to fight southpaw because of the leg damage, right?
Not really because of the leg damage, because I just felt when I was going southpaw against him, I just felt more like he was waiting a lot more. Like, as soon as I went regular, it was funny because, like, I was like, I could hear his teammate Style Bender, I hear his coach. As soon as I go southpaw, they're not really saying anything. And then as soon as I switch back to regular, I hear the word dragon, dragon, and dragon was leg kick. I was like, oh, leg kick's coming. Oh,
like a dragon tail. I don't know what they're calling,
but they're saying dragon. It was like a leg kick, so I could hear it in there, and I was like, okay, well, let's go southpaw. See what they start calling here, and they wasn't really calling anything. They was just like, you need to punch now, or you need to move now, attack. So I guess they wasn't really ready for a southpaw max more than a regular, because as soon as I went back regular, they was screaming dragon like it was religious or something. So it was crazy.
What did you think he was going to fight like? What did you think his strategy was going to be coming into the fight?
I thought he was going to, I knew he was going to do that. A lot of feints for sure. You know, I thought he was going to do like how he did Aldo. Maybe a little bit more, get me against the fence. But I think so he was kind of tripping out when he got me there and I was able to get off. And some of them, I think so he was tripping out that he couldn't take, like, he was going to, I thought so, they was playing a narrative like they was going to take me down and ground and pound me and stuff, right. You know? So I don't know. I don't know what we did. I think so we did good, and then he just did better in one aspect with the leg kicks, and it all added up.
Yeah, when I have to watch the fight again, but I don't remember him landing a real significant punch that had you hurt.
Not really.
It was good punches, but yeah. It was just his leg kick work was excellent, though. Yeah. I mean, he did a lot of great work.
Some of the first ones was great, was good in the early rounds, but some of the other ones was just like we was super close, and then he'd just throw it, like you know, like we'd end up getting into a tangle, and then he'd just end with a leg kick just to even touch me, you know. Right. So at the end of the day, I was like, oh, I guess that was their game plan, was just to leg kick him.
Well, you got to get a rematch. I mean, you are without a doubt the most accomplished featherweight champion of all time. I mean, if you look at your career, you beat Aldo twice. You beat basically everybody. You beat everybody in the division. Mm-hmm. Ortega, you beat all the up-and-comers. Mm-hmm. You beat all the veterans. You beat everybody who was there.
Uh-huh.
And so, in my eyes, like a rematch makes sense. And it's a very exciting fight. It would be a great rematch.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
It would sell.
It's going to sell for sure.
Because there's no one really compelling.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's not like, you know, you lost the title, Volkanovski beat you, but there's another guy who's been like begging and pleading and right there where everybody wants to see fight for the title.
Yeah, Volkanovski was that guy.
Volkanovski was that guy, yeah. I mean, there's good guys in the division, but you've beaten most of the guys. Like, Ortega was the big guy, right?
Yeah.
He was the one that everybody wanted to see you fight because he was undefeated and he would win in such spectacular ways. But you deserve a rematch.
I really feel like. Yeah, we see what happens. You know, I can't wait. I heard a little bit, they didn't hit me up yet, but I heard Dana saying something in Australia or whatever, but
that'd be fun. Yeah,
it'd be
Australia
huge,
would
you know?
Be the move.
And we see what happens, you know? Yeah. You know how it is. I got this number back down attitude.
Can you believe that little motherfucker used to be 240 pounds? How crazy is that?
That is crazy, you know?
He was a tank, man, when he was playing rugby.
He was like
a bulldozer.
I don't know how someone that tall is that heavy. That's kind of crazy, you know? You know, good for him, man. Maybe like an Andy Ruiz on our hands for a little bit.
He wasn't that fat, though. He was just jacked.
Huge, yeah.
He was just jacked.
He's just huge.
You still see it in his legs. He's got giant legs.
He's a big boy.
He's a tough fucking guy, man. It's interesting to see this city kickboxing gym, you know, from Style Bender and Hangman Hooker.
I was a big Hooker fan for a while.
Yeah.
For a while. I've been watching him since when he was in 45, I was watching him.
I was like,
we're probably going to end up fighting each other when he was at 45, and then he went to 55, and everybody was like saying he's a big 45, and I mean 55, he make these 55 guys look small.
He's pretty jacked.
He's huge. He's good. I love watching their style.
He's had one bad fight, where it didn't go his way. That was the fight against Barboza, but he stood with Barboza, which is just a fucking terrible idea for most people. Barboza kicks so goddamn good.
Yeah,
he's the fastest switch kicker I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
I've never seen anybody throw a switch kick.
I never did. I always try. Like, I watch his fights, and then I always try to go to the gym and mimic it. I'm like, yeah, it's not. yeah, I can't be doing this. I don't even know how he can balance that fast.
It's a
Yeah,
he kicks so fast.
And then when he sometimes when he'd like leg kick people and like even switch kick people to the body and just hit his foot land. I'm like, yeah, that can't be that hurtful. But when he lands only his foot, I'm like, God, this sucks.
Hurts. It doesn't matter if it's shin or his foot. He could fuck you up with just his foot. Yeah. Well, he's got the first wheel kick knockout ever in the UFC.
Yeah.
Against Terry Etim.
Yeah. That's. Come on, nobody gonna forget that.
That was crazy.
That was the first ever
wheel kick knockout.
Yeah,
all those fights. Imagine,
and then in Brazil. Statue after. Well, that was crazy. The way
he's a beast, man. It's just it's interesting. He's the most kick oriented fighter I think in the sport, because you don't see him beating guys down with his hands.
No, he. All his hands is touches.
Yeah.
Touch. Yeah, range.
Touch, whack.
Range, touch,
whack.
Boom. Yeah. And leg kicks. And then sometimes he throws like two leg kicks fast. He throws so fast his kicks is like his jabs.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like jabs, but they hurt like straight right.
Yeah. I mean, he stopped Dan Hooker with a punch to the body, but that was because his body was brutalized.
That was the left body kick, right? Yeah. Wasn't he switch kicking him first?
He was switch kicking him. He hit him with spinning back kick to the body.
Didn't he make a Felder too, like pee blood or something?
Yeah.
Like Felder said?
Him and Felder had two wars.
Two wars, yeah.
Yeah,
two.
Crazy.
Dang crazy.
He's a really an interesting guy. It's so many different styles. That's one of the cool things about the sport is that there's so many different ways to do it.
Genetics, you know, especially like look at him, Moraes, Jose Aldo. Look, all Brazilians, guys. These guys are fast twitch, stupid muscles. Unfair. Like, what are you guys so fast for?
What did you think? Did you watch the Moraes Aldo fight?
I was warming up during it, so I kind of got to see, kind of didn't, so I never really watched it.
Most people are pretty salty on the decision.
Yeah? How do you feel?
I didn't like it.
Yeah?
I thought Aldo was pressuring him. I thought, he opened up with a switch kick to the head and had Aldo staggering a little bit, but Aldo covered up and weathered the storm, and then Aldo started putting the pressure on him, and Aldo started hitting him with big punches and really was controlling the center of the octagon and really pressuring him and being very aggressive. And then he got taken down the last couple of seconds of the first round, but nothing happened. He just took him down and hold him. In my mind, that shouldn't mean much.
That don't mean nothing.
That doesn't mean anything.
I get mad about takedowns, period, in MMA, because like, I don't understand how I can beat somebody up for 4 minutes and 50 seconds and you take the last 10 seconds, you take me down for the last 10 seconds and you win the round.
It's crazy.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. I think so. You have to take me down, and if you're not going to advance, you at least got to ground and pound me for 30 seconds, 40 seconds to make that a legitimately takedown.
I agree. There should be something happens when you go to the ground.
So, for 100%.
So you got to brutalize the guy or threaten with a submission. It's got to be something. But with Marlon and Jose Aldo, if they gave that first round to Marlon, it's on the basis of that high kick. Some strikes landed, but I thought Aldo did more. And I thought Aldo did more in the second round. And I thought Aldo won the fight. I thought it was close, but I thought Aldo won the fight. I think he was more aggressive.
Everybody's tripping on his weight cut. And like, he looked good though. I was like, he looked good.
Yeah.
Like, Aldo just have high cheekbones. Yes. And then he was like leaving his facial hair for like all fight week. So people was like, oh my God, he looks scary. I'm like, guys, this is how he looks. This is his face. He's bald too. You know, that doesn't help when you have bald, no hair. You know, people just think you look crazy already. Look.
Well, you know, that was the first fight that he ever had a nutritionist for his whole career.
That's what I heard.
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
I told him, like, man, that's what I heard. I heard his meals when he's at 45 was just whatever he wanted to eat. Like, he felt like eating whatever he wanted to, and he did it. I'm like, yeah, that's why this dude is one of the greatest of all time. He's an animal.
Well, he ate whatever he wanted, and then he just drained the shit out of himself.
Exactly.
But he had some times during his career where people didn't think he was going to be able to make 45 anymore. He's going to have to go up to 55.
Yeah.
So then to see him down at 35 was kind of crazy. But what I saw... When I saw him, when he was posing and getting ready, I saw muscles.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was drawn out, drained. You see some guys when they're making a bad weight cut and they just look like shit.
Yeah.
He just looked ripped.
No, he looked good. Yeah. He looked real good. Mm. You know, even when I saw him, What did I see him? Ultimate Media Day. Or whatever, early in the week. I even worked out. Me and him had the same workout room for one of the nights, and we worked out together. And when I shook him, I shake hands, you pull in a hug. First thing, I go back to my class, like, guy hard as a rock. He's going to make weight. When you're that hard and you have muscle, it's much easier to cut water.
Right.
When you touch someone and they soft, it's like, yeah, my man. I don't know how you going to do this weight cut, but good, you know, may peace be with you.
People don't think that, right? I mean, we had a conversation about that with the fuck is his name? That it wasn't Dolce, it was the other guy. I'll remember his name in a minute.
Lockhart?
Yes, thank you. George Lockhart. Sorry, George. It's the weed. I blame the weed. But Lockhart was saying that big muscular guys, it's easier.
It's easier to you can suck. You can suck water out of someone who's muscular because his muscle is going to let go to water. But if you got fat is going to hold on to everything. Right. That's why you fat. To be honest.
Yeah, you're holding on to everything.
You hold on to whatever goes in your body. Like, holy shit, what is this? Let's just hold on to it. Muscle is like, once something bad, like muscles won't even hold on to something bad. If you eat sugar and you're so muscular, you feel sick.
It's funny how different guys look on the scale versus the next day. Like Lombard was a good example. Like when he would make 170, he looked so much smaller on the scale, and the next day he'd be like, fuck, is this the same guy?
It's muscle, yeah. And, all muscle. And then muscle wants water. Yep. So when you put water into that thing, that bad boy, my gosh, you look like a balloon. Yeah.
Carb up, it swells up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know Lombard's fighting bare knuckle boxing now?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Who he fighting?
I don't I think he's fighting Joe Riggs.
What?
Yeah, I think he's fighting Joe Riggs in a bare knuckle. Bare knuckle boxing's weird.
It's gangster.
It is gangster, but gangster. It's weird how popular it's become.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And it's nuts to me. I think so. MMA fighters is gonna we do much more better than professional boxers inside of it. Because professional boxers, they like MMA fighters, we're so used to the small 4-ounce gloves that like the certain slips we know don't work already. Like when you watch and you see a professional ex-boxer go to that bare knuckle thing, and they try to do their shoulder rolls and stuff, don't work because no more glove. You know, like the glove, the little half inch of the glove would like bounce off and work.
Yeah.
But now it's just coming straight through and ba-kaum, and you just see people's eyes just go. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's certain techniques like Floyd Mayweather would employ that just would never work with those gloves. No. It would never work.
And you can kind of fight in the clinch too, right? Mm-hmm. With bare knuckles. So yeah,
you can clinch. You can clinch and punch from inside the clinch. You know, other things, kickboxers, the same deal. You know, you watch a lot of the top level kickboxers, they're fighting like this all the time. Yeah. They're like completely covering up. Yeah.
Because even when you go around, like you might not get the full glove, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But now there's that extra pad is not there anymore. So when you think you're going to block it, it's just coming right through.
Yep. It's interesting. What would you think if MMA had no gloves? Would you like that?
Ah, man, I got little small tiny hands, so I don't know. I think it probably screw up my knuckles. I hurt my thumbs almost every fight, so I don't know.
Did you hurt this fight?
Before the fight, every fight is this a nagging injury, you know? So, we always take care of it, this and that, but...
Do you have to tape it any differently?
Not really, but I love taping my thumb like a boxer. Like, that's the best feeling when you just got something holding. Because, like, when we do train, we're in boxing gloves anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you always feel something there anyway. So when we go to the fight night, it's just kind of weird if I don't tape my thumb. Like, I tried not to tape it one time. I was like, yeah, no, I got to tape it.
Do most guys tape their thumbs or no?
I don't know. I think it's just preference, personal preference.
Did you watch the Colby-Usman fight?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. A little bit, not the whole thing.
Oh, what'd you think?
I thought it was crazy.
Crazy fight,
I thought it was crazy.
That was a wild fight.
I like what you said, you know, even though, like, even though Colby talk like that, most guys that talk like that and act like him can't fight, he can't fight.
He can fight. He tricks you.
He does.
He tricks you into thinking he sucks. He's wearing a cheap suit. He's carrying around Donald Trump Jr.'s book. He's wearing a MAGA hat. His suit costs $3.
He's on the same page.
He's not reading that fucking book. I mean, I give it up to that guy for a lot of reasons. First of all, his back was against the wall. the UFC was telling him they're going to cut him after this fight with Damian Maia. They don't like his style. They think he's boring. They literally told that to him.
Yeah.
So he goes in the ring after the fight, calls Brazilians a bunch of filthy animals, says a bunch of crazy shit, and the next thing you know, he's got this fucking character. Oh, yeah. For Joe Rogan. We were making fun of his suit. And next thing you know, he's one of the most popular guys in the fucking sport from talking shit. And that was only three fights ago, man. It was a massive adjustment.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Smart.
Yeah, it is, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, if people ask me, oh, how do you feel that like he came out and said that it was like a stick, you know, I was like, oh, sure, whatever it is. I just told people, like, it's him. You know what I mean? Like, it's not me. Why am I bothered? Why are you guys getting bothered by it? Like, let him do it. Let the guy water his own. Like, he's digging his own grave. Let him go dig it. You know what I mean? He got to live in it now. You know? Yeah. Like, now he got to live in it. Like, I think it's at the fighter panel. They asked, oh, well, why did you laugh when you found out that he outed himself? I was like, because it's a storyline. You don't see these WWE guys going around and be like, yeah, this is just fake. No, they keep their storyline until they go out and then they change it.
We kind of outed it first.
Yeah.
We outed it first. Me and Brendan Schaub outed it first.
Yeah,
we
but
told
then
the
you,
whole story.
Lati die, brother. You know what I mean? I would text you and be like behind the scenes, like, Joe Rogan, guess what? I hate you. And that's it. That's all I'll leave it at. That's it. And then when it comes back, I'll be like, I don't know what Joe Rogan is a lie. I'll start making lies. Joe Rogan don't even smoke weed. That's fake. He's smoking just regular grass, guys. You heard it here first on JRE from Max Holloway. He's just smoking regular grass, guys.
Oh, that's hilarious. Look, man, we haven't had a guy that put on a character like that before. He's the first.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he is.
Chael Sonnen a little bit.
Yeah.
Chael Sonnen a little bit. You know, he kind of put on a little bit of an act like that, but Kobe took it to a whole new level. I mean, the suits, and he's adjusted it over the years. Because if you go back and look at the beginning of it, he used to wear nice suits. He was wearing like a very nice tailored suit, like really expensive. Yeah. Now he's wearing the cheapest shit that he could buy, like blue and orange. He's on purpose. You know he's doing it on purpose. He's wearing cheap suits. It's fucking hilarious, man. It's hilarious.
It's terrible.
And it was a good goddamn fight. It was a good fight.
It was a
real close fight.
Got 50K.
It was 3-3. On three judges' scorecards, or on two judges' scorecards, they had it 3-1. So three rounds to Usman on one judge's score, three rounds to Colby on another judge's scorecard. Yeah, it was that goddamn close. And 2-2 with the last judge. This is another example.
That would have been crazy.
It's crazy. But this is another example why we should have more judges.
Yeah.
We should have more than three judges. It's
How much
judges
does the Olympic do?
Olympic boxing? I don't know.
I think they have eight.
They take whatever
scores match, like the top five, whatever, and then they balance.
That makes sense. Eight's a good number. Nine would be a good number because nine would be like a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
You know, like if you had 5-1 or 4-1 way, four another way. Yeah. I feel like three's ridiculous. Like, why do you only have three? You know the judges suck already, so why do you only have three people that suck?
If anybody can change the sport, you can.
I've tried, man. I've tried to eliminate weight cutting. I've talked to these guys. I've talked to Ari. I've talked to Lorenzo. I said, let's get rid of weight cutting. Get rid of it. Do what 1FC is doing. Use hydration tests. Make everybody fight their natural weight. Open up weight classes. Make a bunch more. Having two weight classes between 185 and 205 is fucking bananas. You got a 20-pound jump.
Yeah, I think so. We need to open weight.
Yeah.
And then even like one of the most weight things that I hate is like I don't understand why the champion and the challenger of the champion need to make 45 and then everybody else get the pound allowance.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's backwards. Like,
right.
The champion and the challenger should have the pound allowance, and everybody else need to make the weight.
Right.
Am I not right? Or you just be like, and if you want to give the champion more love, you just be like, look, champion needs to come at 46, and the challenger come at 45. That's just how it should be. I don't know.
If you're gonna cut all that weight, we know you're gonna fight for five rounds. Give him an extra pound.
Yeah.
But I feel like hydration tests are the way.
Hydration is cool. I think it's cool. I know a couple guys that in the 1FC and stuff, and they do that way. I think that's super dope.
I bet you could feel better. I bet you would feel better.
And you just walk around and fight. But it's crazy because if we do that, you know, people are just going to try and find a way to finesse it anyway.
I wonder what they do in 1FC to prevent that. I mean, apparently they haven't had an issue with that. They test people. They make sure that you're not dehydrated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I have no idea.
But they find them what you weigh. They find what you weigh in camp. That's what they should do, just show up like one day. Hey, Max, what's up? Hey, get on the scale, bro. You're like, oh, I just ate cake. I just had ice cream.
I ain't Max. I'm his brother. What are you talking about? he's at home, I think.
What's the heaviest you've ever gotten?
The heaviest I ever gotten? I don't know. I got... We in Hollywood. I can't be telling you my weight.
We're not
right
Hollywood.
Now. This is Hollywood.
No, this is Chatsworth.
We're pretty damn close.
We're in the valley, bro.
We're pretty close.
If you had to guess.
If I had to guess.
180?
Probably 180. Yeah. 80, 85 probably. 85, heaviest,
90.
Yeah.
That means 90. That means one. It might mean 200
maybe
pounds.
Maybe 210. Who knows? You guys really think I over here putting on an act calling out DC? DC, you are eating everything I want to eat. You know who the real money fight is, DC? It's me. I'll fight your ass and then eat you, then battle you to an all-you-can-eat buffet. You let me know. Daddest man on the planet right here.
The daddest man on the planet. That is hilarious. That is mad. There's never been a badder motherfucker on the planet with a body like DC.
Never.
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 Because usually those guys are journeymen. You know, usually there's a lot of good fighters that are built like that, but they never really get to be like world class championship.
And that did what he did.
Yeah.
And continued to do what he's doing.
Yeah, man. Look, when he fought Stipe, he had a big old belly.
But
still cracked him in the first round.
I tease him all the time. I bought it. He's like, DC, you can't be using the tights, bro. You gotta bring your shorts up. Come on. use some board shorts, bro. You can't be using these tights. I tease him all the time. I love that guy.
I love that guy, too. What do you think is gonna happen with them? I wonder if Stipe apparently is injured, and he's having a hard time recovering. They're trying to do a rematch, but he's got an injury.
Even if it's not a rematch, are they gonna move on from Stipe or no?
Listen, everybody's scared of Francis. Nobody wants a piece of that dude. They're like, fuck that. Fuck that noise.
Yeah. You know?
DC told me.
Yeah.
They offered him Francis. He's like, fuck that. I don't want nothing to do with Francis Ngannou. No thank you, sir. He was like, I'm here for Stipe and that's it. He goes, I'm in the end of this. I got like one or two fights left in me. They got to make sense. And he's not interested in that, which if I was in his corner, I'd be like, oh, thank God you're thinking this way. Fuck, that guy's too scary.
Yeah.
He scares the fuck out of me.
He's fast.
He's fast
He's
as
super
fuck.
Fast for how big he is. You know?
Super like, fast super as fast. Fuck, and he nukes dudes. Like, when he hit Alistair with that left hook.
That was crazy. Yeah, that was in Detroit. I remember that when I was watching that. And you see... you see how his head wiggles in the air before he even hits the ground? My
horrific.
Gosh.
How many times has Alistair been knocked out? Like,
I think a lot.
It's
been a lot. But it doesn't help that you come from the K-1 background, you
no.
know? Like, you just getting punched so much.
K-1 and pride.
And then he was always at, like, what was it, 185, right? He was always 185, 205 in heavyweight.
205,
now it's like, come on, you know? It's like,
well, he had a real hard time making 205, if you remember. Back when he fought Chuck
Liddell,
and
then
he was real skinny.
And then he's smaller, you know? Yeah. Like, And once you get past one, like once you're 185 and up, it's like everybody can knock out everybody there.
Yep.
And once you get knocked out, your brain is going to just keep saving you earlier and earlier. You know, mm-hmm. every time. You know, it just once you get hit a certain way, your brain is going to shut off because it's just trying to save itself.
Yep. Yep.
And there's nothing you can do. You know.
That is crazy, right? There's no fix for that.
Once no you've fix been at all because your brain is just trying to protect yourself. You know, like I know people who get choked out. Who got choked out to sleep, and now you can choke them out easier because the brain is just like, the brain is like, no, yeah.
I've never seen that with chokes. Is
that
true?
Yeah, I know a couple people.
Wow. Damn. That's heavy. Not good. Yeah, they say that chokes, I used to think chokes were a free ride. I used to think, no big deal, you just got choked out. But now they're saying, no. Like, chokes give you brain damage.
For sure. You're forcing your body to do something that it doesn't want to do.
You're shutting your brain off.
That it's telling yourself, like, before, look, I'm going to turn everything off before you die.
Yeah.
And this it. Because if you keep holding it when you're knocked out, you're going to kill someone.
Yeah,
you're
going to kill someone.
So that's your body just be like, okay, look, I'm turning it off now, so... Let's just hope you recover.
But they're finding CTE in jiu-jitsu players. They're finding it high-level jiu-jitsu guys.
I don't think that it's from choke, exactly. Like, I hit my head
all the time.
I hit my head on the when I'm grappling and stuff just as much as getting punched sometimes. Like, sometimes I don't even get punched or kneed in the head, like when we're moving and stuff. But when you're doing jiu-jitsu and stuff, and like someone tries to take you back or snap you down, or you're rolling or
collide heads.
Or collide heads, or you stay on the top and they're bunking, like you got a wild child under you and like you hit your head, you know? Or you get their back and they kick you, you know? And, yeah, you know? Some people be wild. And,
child.
Yeah.
Some people are wild, man.
Yeah, like something, when they do something, I'm like, when I got a wild child, I was like, boom, okay, this is how it's going to end. And then we do it, and I'm like, look, after you tap them on, I'm like, look, you got to relax, guy. Like, take it easy. You know what I mean? Like, that's
that's all they have, though.
If you look at it, like, this is a cool thing about my team. Like, my coach, he will never, ever let me do a jiu-jitsu tournament. I keep begging him. I'm like, I want to do a jiu-jitsu tournament. He's like, no. He's like, I'll let you go do a boxing match, but do a jiu-jitsu tournament. I was like, why? He's like, because you see all these top MMA fighters, they go to do the gis, jiu-jitsu, whatever the tournament is. They tear their ACL. They tear their shoulder.
Yeah, this weekend.
They get choked out. They hit their head. They get cut. Luke cut his eye in a fight.
A wrestling
in a grappling match. Like, how? You know, like, man, it's just freak stuff happen when you're grappling.
Well, Cub blew his knee out just this weekend.
I heard, yeah.
I mean, he's on a real high note right now. Just beat Crone Gracie. And he's also 36 with a family, you know? So it's like, this guy can't afford to take a fucking year off.
Yeah, that's
and
why.
He was locked up in a leg lock with Jake Shields, who's at least 30 pounds bigger than him. Jake is a big fella. And, you know, they're doing that quintet thing where different weights will compete against different guys.
Yeah, shout out to Sean O'Malley. I saw him putting on for the UFC team. Man.
Did you see Krause? James Krause caught King Mo in a standing guillotine?
No.
Dude, Krause is really underrated, man. Krause is a beast.
I like Krause.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Very, very smart guy. Really nice guy, too.
Yeah, real nice guy. I like him. Yeah, he was in the workout room, too, that week. I was like, I thought he was fighting, but no, he just was doing the grappling, so that's cool.
Yeah, so Jake Shields tapped out Mark Munoz, and then he got him in an arm triangle, and then head and arm choke, and then he was in the middle of the scramble with Cub, and he had Cub's, you know, leg laced up like with a heel hook position, but not, it didn't apply a heel hook. They were just in the middle of transition moving, and Cub just like and he just rolls over on his back.
You know better than everybody that
it happens.
Once you get there and you go the wrong way, your leg stays there.
Yeah, that's Krause tapping King Mo to standing guillotine.
This guy is a beast.
Yeah, grappling is not, it's not a safe bet. I can't believe that these guys who are fighting in the UFC for a career would be willing to risk that, because you really can get fucked up, man. You can get really badly hurt.
Like, jam your finger.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know how many times I hurt my doing... with my role with jiu-jitsu and my role with kickboxing, I have way more injuries in doing straight jiu-jitsu than kickboxing training.
Really?
100%.
Wow. That's crazy.
100%.
Well, I feel like it's easier to go light when you're kickboxing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, because you can control it, you know?
Right.
And nobody wants to get knocked out. And like in jiu-jitsu and stuff, it's like, oh, you can probably put someone to sleep or break their arm, but like you got to be pretty good with your partner. Like some guys, like... You know, certain guys like when they get this arm, they're gonna fucking take it home. Like, I'm not gonna give it to you.
Oh, there's always guys like that that I would hate rolling with. So some guys just fucking they go so hard, and they hurt people. Some guys are hurt. They hurt people.
Yeah.
Some guys are always hurt. You always hear ah. You look over. Oh, it's Mike, this motherfucker, getting people in arm bars. You know, combat sports it's so hard to train correctly. You know, like if everything was great, you would have full control, your opponent would have full control, you guys would spar correctly, everybody would learn and grow. You'd have great training.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to find good training, and
ego.
Yeah.
That's kind of my love my teammates when I'm getting ready for fights. Mm-hmm. Whenever we gotta mimic guys, like even though like sometimes it's horrible. Like sometimes, like some guys, like you gotta train a certain way and spar me and give me this certain look, and they're getting it. And they know if they just go back to their normal style, they give me more competitive sparring.
Right.
They still do it. I'm like, and I tell them after every practice, I'm like, guy, thank you. Don't worry, when it's your fight, I'm gonna take my ass whooping too. So I'm gonna pay you back, my friend.
What's like the weirdest style you ever had to prepare for? Who? What fighter do you think was like the most difficult to prepare for in terms of getting ready for their style?
I think so. It was, what is his name? Will Chope, the one that I started the win streak on.
Yeah.
He was so tall. He was like 6'4". Like, who do you get ready for? Like, everybody I know that was 6'4 or something is like already 200 pounds.
Right.
190 pounds, 200 pounds. You know, this guy's like stuff. So like
6'4", 145 is crazy.
Yeah, and it was crazy. And then, like, I remember, like, going in there, and I was, like, trying to hit him, and he's just, like, jabbing me. I'm like, what is going on? Like, how is this guy so tall right now? Like, what is he doing? Like, how is he hitting me from this far? You know? And, yeah, that probably was the weirdest one, I think.
Well, it's interesting. You see long, tall guys and the use of distance. If someone's really good and they're long and tall, that is such a giant advantage. Like, John Jones is the best at it.
Yeah.
He's the best
super,
at it.
Super smart. Yeah,
he's
super
so good long. At using that length, though.
He knows
how to everybody out there.
Yeah.
And then, boom, when he wants, he hits you.
Boom, boom. And then he does the jiu-jitsu way. He's either all the way in or all the way out.
Yep.
He's either on you or he's off of you. He's never ever put himself in like stupid positions where you might get a shot on him. You know?
I'm really interested to see what Dominic Reyes can do with him. Very interested to see. He's got to rise to the occasion because, you know, he had some rough moments with OSP, you know, who also had a real good fight with John Jones. Like, a lot of people don't, you know, OSP's a beast. Big, strong guy.
OSP's
very powerful.
Genetics.
Yeah, and very powerful. Excellent striking power, especially with his left leg and his left hand. He fucks people up with, you know, he's got a nasty power left kick, man. But, you know, he struggled with OSP a little bit, particularly in the middle of the fight. OSP hit him with a good shot, and then he knocked OSP out. He should have got credited for a knockout in that fight because Dominic knocked him out like with like 2 seconds to go, and he walked off. I mean, the referee didn't stop the fight, and he's like, no, you got to get up. He's like, what are you? He's out, man. And then the buzzer rang, and then they just called it a decision. They gave it to him by decision, but the fight should have been stopped. I mean, it was a knockout.
That's crazy.
He knocked him out. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, the referee's call was just.
Yeah, and we see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
We all know John Jones is different, you know?
Yeah, he's a different animal.
Yeah, just different.
He's the goat.
Even though when you see him and you see him looking kind of normal and stuff, he always finds a way. Yeah, he just finds a way, you
That
know?
Looking normal is a trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when he takes pictures of himself looking skinny fat. Don't let that shit fool you. That's John Jones. Even skinny fat will fuck you up.
For sure.
He's so strong, too.
I bet.
You know, and that you want to talk genetics. His whole family is super athletes. All of his brothers are super athletes. All of them. Imagine that. One guy is the greatest light heavyweight champion of all time, the youngest ever to win a world title in the UFC. The other two brothers are NFL superstars. What the fuck is in the water at the Jones house?
I don't know.
That's some serious fucking genetics over there. And also, I think like when you grow up with two bad motherfuckers as
like
brothers,
that, yeah.
you know you're beating the shit out of each other.
Especially when you're youngest.
Time.
Yeah, you're the youngest. You know he was getting it.
Yeah, so they're all beating the fuck out of each other.
Probably why he
all
became
the
fighter. He's like, yeah, you guys go do this shit. I'm going to get you guys back.
Yeah. And they talk shit about each other.
And then when they do it, and then when they come, like, what you gonna, if I was John, I would just tell them, what you going to do, tackle me? That shit ain't going to work.
Well, his brothers train MMA too.
Yeah, okay.
They train in between. Well, his brother Arthur is fucking gigantic.
Yeah, I know.
That dude's so big.
Yeah.
You know?
Chandler is huge too.
Chandler was talking shit about John.
Yeah.
It's like if I fought in MMA, I'd fuck him up. And they're like, oh shit. They talk shit to each other like that.
Yeah, they're brothers. They're supposed to. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But then when they go home, I bet you John would be like, yeah, okay, Chandler, put up that contract. I see how much you make it. I'll fight your ass right here. Let's go in jail. Let's go on GRE to get a fight.
It really is a crazy successful athletic family. Like maybe I don't know of any other family that has NFL superstars and a world champion, you know, combat sports athlete. And I can't think of another family like that.
None. Nope.
That's great. Life's not fair. You know, when it comes to things like that. When it comes to genetics, life is not fair.
You just gotta work with it.
Gotta work with what you got. When you had that situation happen where, you know, they were running a bunch of tests on you, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with you, what do you think was going on?
You know, what was funny was that July fight, when we was getting ready, it was in Vegas, right? We flew, I had to fly to New York to do my media day.
Mm-hmm.
So from Hawaii to New York.
12 hours.
Yeah, and then we did a 12-hour media, and then we went to Vegas. I think I got to Vegas on Thursday. And then, you know, I just felt out of it.
And you're cutting weight at the time, too.
Not really cutting Not weight. Yet. It was dieting and stuff. And, like, everybody, even the water thing, everybody's like, why? I drink the load of water fight week. Even before the fight, you know, we drink the load of water, you know. And at the end of the day, like, a couple of days passed, and it just wasn't going away, you know. And then,
what was
you know,
it? Like, how'd you feel? Like,
I could tell you exactly what it was. It was something we consumed. You know, and like right now, not that much people know that I left my old management. I'm with new management now. And, you know, my manager now, he's like a behavioral science guy. And he's probably like watching this stream right now squirming while I'm talking about it. But we got stuff going on, and we got a bunch of I'm looking to like work on like with lawyers and stuff, and we plan on suing somebody. So there's there's a bunch of stuff that I really can't talk about. That's why he's squirming back there. Okay. You know, I probably shouldn't be talking about it too much, but that's about it. It was something that I consumed, and
like a supplement.
I don't even know if I can tell you. Okay. So yeah, at the end of the day,
it'll come out in the wash
for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Well, let me know.
So I will. I'll let you know.
When is this all supposed to be settled out?
We see, you know, I just left that to him, you know. One of the great things that I love with the team is that, for me, I'm all about keeping the main thing. And the main thing for me is just fighting and making sure whoever's in front of me, whatever cupcake it is, I can enjoy that cupcake while they go do everything else for me.
And you don't have to think about anything else.
Yeah. Nothing at all.
That's beautiful. That's the way to do it. Yeah, if you're going to have a good team, you know, people that train themselves, like, you know, I'm like,
it's crazy.
You can't do that. It's
I talk to them, I talk to my team, like, I love the chaos. Like, I love chaos around me a little bit, but then they make it so simple. And it's great, but I kind of still like to put myself, like, I like when things ain't in order, you know? Like, when you come to my house, I love that my room is messy. Like, people might trip up, be like, you messy room. I'm like, yeah, but. You know, like, I have somebody come clean it later on, but, like, I just love the chaos. Like, I like being messy? You got to be a little bit messy, you know, just to, like, keep me sane. If I'm too clean, things are going too well. Things is going too good. You know, like, it's like a fight week thing. If something doesn't go wrong fight week, I'm like, nope. This shit ain't happening to me. I'm going to screw something up right now just so we got it.
Really?
Yeah, you can't. Do you like things going perfect? Don't it feel weird when everything goes perfect? I guess I'm just different.
No, that is a different way of looking at things, that you like a little bit of chaos. I like a little bit of chaos.
Exactly.
For sure. I like to know that there's no, like, I feel like I'm a very, very, very fortunate person, and I like to know that things are crazy and random so I could appreciate my fortune.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
100%. Exactly.
That I'm lucky. You know?
Exactly.
I love that life is so unpredictable and strange.
Yeah. Life is like MMA. MMA is unpredictable.
That's why
I love it. That's why it's so comparable. That's why a lot of people can kind of compare. Like, they kind of get it, but they don't. You know, like, fighting is in their DNA. Like, everybody. They're like, I can't watch this fight. This and that. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, because this is like a combat. Like. We're licensed. We're like that licensed fighter. This is like, it's not the gladiator days of people like cutting each other's head off. Like, right. No, take his life. No, right. It's not.
It's a sport.
We're past these days, you know. So at the end of the day, it's just when they actually, I always my fans. A bunch of my fans is like old people or even moms. Moms always chip out. Like, I work out. They come to the gym. They see me work out. They actually talk to me. They're like, oh wow, I didn't think so. You was like this or whatever. I thought you was like this. This guy just an asshole and blah, 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 because I was a fighter. I was like, no, we're human beings. What are you talking about? You know, I'm just like you.
Well, people think of cage fighters. They think of, like, the most aggressive, the meanest, nastiest people in the world. And that's the weirdest thing about fighters in the UFC. Like, they're the nicest people. Yeah. Like, Cowboy Cerrone is one of the nicest fucking people ever. I know.
Yeah, yeah.
He hugs everybody. He's a sweetheart. He's fucking nice to everybody. He's one of the baddest motherfuckers ever.
He's just so nice.
He's
amazing.
Ngannou's a really nice guy.
He is. He's super cool.
Big, giant, scary motherfucker. Super nice.
Yeah.
Real friendly.
Yeah.
You know, Cain Velasquez, real nice guy.
Cain looks the most scary. Him and Ngannou.
Oh, my God.
If you saw him and Ngannou in a
dark alley,
in a dark alley, they come to you. hey, what you doing? You wouldn't think they're not going to help you.
Yeah, you wouldn't think they're going to be your buddies.
But they'd be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah. Well, fighters don't have anything to prove. You know, a lot, most men that run around in society, especially men that don't train or know how to fight, they feel like they have a lot to prove. They're always puffing their chest out and talking loud. And there's a lot of that with men, particularly with men who don't know how to fight. But fighters, you know, if you're a UFC fighter, man, you've proved it. You've already you don't need to impress people.
Yeah.
You know, and also, you're fucking tired from training all the time, too.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Like, everybody who always tell me, like, whenever they, like, all my friends, whenever they bring new guys around or new friends, they're just hanging out, they're, like, asking me about fighting and this and that. Like, they're so, like, cool. They're like, oh, what about this? What about that? I'm like, guy, what do you do for work? It's like, construction. I'm like, well, how's your job site going right now? You know, how's the fork? Or how's the your concrete prices going up? I don't know. Like, they're like, I don't want to talk about that. I was like, exactly. I don't want to talk about fighting, guy. Please, please don't talk about fighting to me.
I know, but you got to understand that someone's a fan of yours. They're running to you like, it's Max Holloway. Yeah. Oh, shit, Max.
Yeah, and
then they just want to talk to you.
Yeah, then they just laugh and they find out, like, look, we actually have a lot more in common than fighting, you know? Like, let's go freaking go race some cars or something.
Right, right.
Do something fun.
Yeah. What do you do when you're not in camp? Like now that the fight's over, you got a chance to unwind for a while. What's a typical Max Holloway day like?
I just lounge around, wait for Mini Bless. Maybe if he's playing sports, take him to sports. He been liking K1 Speed lately, so we've been go racing. Or we just got a roller rink in Hawaii. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, like a roller rink, like an actual roller rink, not the ice skate. We had ice skating forever. We got a roller rink. And
Have had ice skating forever in Honolulu?
Yeah, in there, yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's in Pro City in Oahu, and then now we got a roller rink, and me and Minnie and a bunch of my friends, we be going every day. We trying to get a roll bounce on and just trying to dance and do stupid stuff. And, you know, like in camp, I really can't do it because I don't want to fall out and break my butt or something or a finger. So now we can kind of play around more, like just do fun stuff, just stuff that, like, I don't have to go to the gym too much. Like, and then I don't feel bad, too, if I do miss the gym. Like, my coaches kind of know, like, they kind of let me off for, like, 1 or 2 weeks or so, and then we just hang out.
Nice to just unwind.
Oh, yeah, go
relax.
To the beach, just chill, or just... Yeah. And just being able to just go to the nearest 7-Eleven, just get on a Slurpee and drink whatever I want.
Drink whatever you want, right? Yeah. And then, a couple weeks after the fight, then you start battening down the hatches again.
Oh, yeah, getting right back into it, training, you know.
And then you start talking to your manager, like, what's next?
Yeah, exactly. I call him up. I let him know. I tell him we plan and kind of have an idea. We kind of have an idea now because ever since we heard Dana talking about it, but he didn't hit us up yet. So
what did Dana say?
He said at the press conference that he wanted me and Alex in, what is that called? In Australia.
In Australia.
I just don't know when.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Down under. I never went, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, Australia's great. I love it there. I've never been to New Zealand. I want to go to New Zealand, but fuck, I love Australia. People are so cool. So it's a great place. You know, it's relaxed, man. There's only 20 million people, and it's a place the size of the entire United States.
For real?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There's
crazy.
Less people in the whole of Australia than in L.A.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah. California as a whole has way more people than Australia.
That's crazy.
Way more. Yeah, but L.A. has more people than Australia. And if you have a census, those fucking people that have a census, oh, the census says there's only 20 million people. Bitch, you're not counting Mexicans. You are not counting Mexicans. Yeah. You're never going to count them.
Yeah.
They come over here. They're sneaking around. They're doing whatever they want to do. I'm happy they're here, but you don't know how many there are.
I'm happy they're here.
I'm happy they're here.
Yeah. Hey, there's a... You know where we going after this? Dollar Tacos, baby.
Dude, there's a great place over here. I'll show you a place.
Yeah, tell us.
Yeah, there's this burrito spot. Legit as fuck. They got all those Mexican soap operas playing.
Yeah.
Nobody speaks English. Yeah. Fucking Mexican
food.
Oh,
you know, that sounds good right now.
Off the charts. So good.
Some horchata.
Look, I'm a giant fan. Mexican food is probably my favorite food. But my point is, they don't know how many are here.
Yeah.
There could be another 10 million.
Count it.
There might be 30 million people
for sure.
Here. Yeah, they have no idea. And either way, it's more than the whole of Australia. Definitely.
That's heavy.
Yeah, right.
That's heavy.
But that's why Australia is so cool. They're not all stressed out.
Yeah.
You know, and there's too many people together in one spot. Like, I was driving here today, and some dude cut me off, just like...
when we were driving here, someone just like... The hair just
Woo.
Cut us off. I was like, whoa,
everybody's
to
tense.
LA, baby.
They're tense. They did a study once where they set cameras up on one side of the street and then on another side of the street, and they measured this the distance between this the two cameras, and they measured how fast people were walking from one camera to the next, and through the speed of their walking, they could determine accurately how many people live in the city. So it's a direct response to too many people. People start moving faster and more aggressive and more tense, and they walk faster.
Yeah,
You could literally set a camera up on a block, and within a couple of hours, they could tell you how many people live in that city just by how fast they walk.
That's crazy. Technology is nuts.
Also, how fast they talk.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, technology is insane. Thank you, brother.
Do you need to blow your nose?
Nah, after.
Okay. What happened?
He saw me.
James saw something I didn't see. Oh, you clever bastard.
Smart.
Yeah, no, technology is amazing. But that's just, you know, you live in Oahu?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in Honolulu,
right? Oh, yes.
That's
a
million people, right?
But I live in Waianae.
Oh, okay. So,
you put that camera you're talking about in Waianae, like, people's less stressful over there. We just be chilling. People would be walking slow. They'd be like, oh my gosh, people's living it over here. Yeah. They're loving it.
That video of you that they play where you were a really young kid, where you were just getting into fighting.
I was 15 years old. Wow. I was 11th grade. Wow. We shot that when I was 11th grade. Wow. And that's when MySpace was popping.
Wow.
MySpace.
Did you have a MySpace?
I had a MySpace. Yeah. And I was, that was like
who's
my
in
first,
your top eight?
My old trainer at the time. The guy who my boy who got me into fighting, Josh Keanu, one of my friends, Birdie Bird, this guy named Shyson Lopolo, my older brother, my younger brother, one of my cousins, and then another cousin. I remember my whole top eight. And then you got to change like to top 16 and 24, and you started was getting wild, and then
started getting crazy.
And then people was being like getting mad when you top eight, like who is one, who is two.
Right, right.
You know, and I make the 16 one. I'm like, bro, you should just be happy you're on there.
Right, people get mad.
Yeah, people was getting mad. It was crazy, but
everybody wanted to be in number one.
Yeah, but then what's funny about that video, because at the ending that video they showed in the countdown, they showed me saying like, if you're a loser, it's like if you try, at least you're winning your book, you know, whatever. Yeah. That loser quote.
Yeah.
That quote was like on people's bios, you know, like the bio, you know, you could put a quote or whatever, a status. And that was people's bios. So I was like, yeah, your boy made it. Because then they did it for, that was a national, it won nationally. It was for the STN Awards.
Oh.
When the schools come up and they do stuff and whatever. Mm-hmm. It's here in California whenever they do. And I was supposed to go. That was my 11th grade year, and I was kind of mad that I wasn't able to get it. But it was just cool. It was just cool.
It's got to be weird looking at yourself when you're 15, talking about, you know.
Oh yeah, what's up, brother? That's all I was talking. It's terrible. my accent was like, I still have an accent, but I still talk moke a lot. But like now that
Did you talk what?
Talk moke.
Moke?
Yeah, and moke is like, or pigeon.
Okay. Right.
Is when like us Hawaiian. Actually, I can talk two languages. I can talk. Pigeon is actually a language now.
Is it really?
Yeah, they made it a language.
Really?
Yeah, Google it.
How much different is it, like, if you were going to say something to Jamie? Like, if you're going to say, Jamie, hey, Jamie, my car is coming soon. I got to get the fuck out of here.
I'd be like, oh, what's up, you fucker? Where's my car?
Oh, that's normal. Yeah. What's up, you fucker? Where's my car? Yeah, that sounds like you're from here.
Yeah.
Hawaii is a strange place because I feel like it should be its own country. I really do. But I like the fact that it's protected by the United States.
You know they wouldn't... You know, Dana had to approve me walking out with my flag.
Really?
They wasn't gonna let me walk out with the Hawaiian flag.
Why?
And even like
in Vegas?
When I first started doing it. Because that's when the Reebok came out. We couldn't do I couldn't put a Hawaiian flag on my shorts or anything. So I was like, I'm gonna walk out the flag. And then Reebok was stopping it. They was like, you can't, because it's a state flag. And whatever.
What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, and then I was like, what? I was like, no, we could talk to Dana. And then,
so you could come out with, if you're from Nigeria, you can come out with a country flag?
Yeah,
but you couldn't
only
come
country
out with a state
flags.
Flag?
Yeah, no
what?
State flag.
What?
And then Dana White them, talked to Dana them, and they told me, they was like, Dana texted me, and he said, yeah, that's stupid as shit, kid. Just walk with it. Yeah. It's like, come on, like, let this kid represent Hawaii. Like Hawaii, like how you said, because he says like Hawaii is like their own people. You know,
it's their own people.
Just let him represent, and then they did it.
It's 5 hours in a plane across the ocean. That shit is barely America. Hawaii is amazing. I love it. It's one of my favorite places to visit. I go there 3-4 times a year. I love Hawaii. But that is not America. I love that they're protected by America. I love that.
They have
all the rights. Yeah. All, you know, I love all that, but I feel very strongly that they should have their own. It should be sovereign. They should have their own. It's their own thing, man. How the fuck are you going to claim something that it takes 5 hours to get to on a plane?
Yeah,
it's not even attached.
Fuck it. It's crazy.
But again, I love that it's protected by America. I love that we're considered to be from the same country. Yeah. I love all that. But every time I go to Hawaii, I'm like, come on, man. This is their own place.
It's just different.
Yeah,
here,
they're Hawaiians. Like, if you go to North Dakota, you can't look at someone and go, oh, that's a North Dakotan. Right? You go to Hawaii, you're like, oh, that dude's Hawaiian. Hawaiian guy. You know, 100%. Polynesian. I mean, there's so many people in Hawaii that they're clearly Hawaiian. You know?
100%.
Yeah, I mean, it's... There's no state like that. There's no other state. Zero. Well, you look at
them. One on one.
We're like, even Alaska. Alaska, you don't look at someone. I mean, they have a full beard, flannel coat, fucking moose leg over their shoulder. Maybe that's an Alaskan. but you're guessing. He might have moved there.
Yeah.
He might just be a mountain man who moved there.
100%.
It's a great place, though. There's a thing about Hawaiians that they have, like, a when you're on an island and you're surrounded by ocean, there's like a reverence for nature that Hawaiians have.
Yeah.
That I really like.
Yeah, you never see my Hiker Holloways?
What is that?
Hiker Holloway.
Hiker Holloway?
Yeah, I got a YouTube. That? We got a guy named Hiker Holloway.
Who's Hiker Holloway?
You're looking at the man.
You? You have a YouTube video where you just hike?
Hiker Holloway.
Oh, look at this.
There it is.
Hiker Holloway surviving in the wilderness. What the fuck is this? What is it? Oh, this is the shit you did recently.
Yeah.
You did this in Vegas, right?
Yeah, it's Red Rock Canyon.
Isn't that funny that Red Rock, like, just outside of Vegas, it's like a whole nother world. Like, you might as well be on Mars.
Yeah, it is. It looks like Mars. It's crazy. I just give you survival tips, you know, all that stuff.
Go to
YouTube, guys, and you know, I break down plants. There's a plant that you probably see in there.
What plant? You can't.
It's called a ladder tree, but you need to go and see stuff.
Like, do you actually know what you're talking about? You're just talking shit.
You gotta go see it
okay,
for yourself.
I'll check it out. Hiker Holloway surviving in the wilderness. All Maxis. Maxis.
All Max is coming to the live and direct.
I like
my friend.
I like it. All Maxis. Do you surf?
A little bit. Yeah.
You have to surf if you're from Hawaii, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
They get mad at you if you don't.
Yeah. I mean, the countdown people came, they shot, and they didn't get me on the best waves. I was like, wow. I was like, guys, I caught at least 20 waves, and you guys put like the four that I sucked on? What are we doing?
They're doing that on purpose.
What are we doing here?
They're doing that on purpose.
Yeah.
They're trying to say he's not great at everything.
Or I could have actually only caught that four waves, and I could be lying. So we don't know what you're doing. I'm gonna keep you guys up to you guys and keep it guessing.
Waves, like, surfing is an interesting thing, right? Because you're in their world. You're in the water world.
Oh, yeah. So, like I know, like, all the big wave surfers and, like, Makua Rothman, them. And they always tell me, or even when I see my friends at surfing, Zeke Lau, Keanu Singh, and they come up to me and they tell me, man, fighting is so crazy. I'm like, guy, surfing is crazy. And they're like, no, fighting is crazy. I was like, guy, I'm fighting with a human being and I kind of can control what they do at certain times and what I do and this and that. Like, when you're surfing, you're fighting Mother Nature, my guy. Like, you fall off your board. And if Mother Nature just feels like, I'm going to go throw you three times, you're going to get thrown three times.
Did you see that video that Dana put up on his Instagram
the
recently?
One of the big that was on Maui, I think. I think that was on Maui. That was a big wave surf contest.
That's like a 50-foot wave that dude got smashed by. Is that guy all right?
I think he's fine. Yeah, I didn't know. I just saw that. I saw it because Dana posted. I saw a bunch of my surfing friends post it, actually.
That is the number one nightmare. This guy gets on the board, and right away, he's slipping and just goes down immediately. Watch this shit. Here he goes. Boom!
Look how small the board looked to that wave. Yeah.
The weight of that water that has, and he's got one of those vests on where you pop up.
Yeah,
right?
but see, that's the next thing I was going to bring up. Yeah, you got a pop up vest, but like I talked to my friend and stuff that does some of this. Like, you don't know if it's gonna pop when you go under the water. Like, what if it like you what you, if it you trust it? Yeah.
Look at him wiping there. Boom! Oh, Jesus
Christ.
Look how
small his board looked to the wall.
God, it looks like nothing.
Yeah.
That is probably a 50-foot wave. That is fucking crazy.
That is terrible.
Oh, I'm so scared. And that's a real surfer. That's a real professional.
Yeah, that was that a contest that just happened. Oh,
fuck. So my buddy Kenny, he just went to Texas, in Waco, Texas. They got one of those indoor wave things. Yeah.
Yeah.
In Waco, Texas. So he said it was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So he's flying into Texas. Yeah. He gets off the airplane. He's got fucking surfboards, him and his buddies. And everybody's going, looking at them like, what the fuck? You're at the wrong place, man. You took the wrong flight.
Yeah. I was, before this fight, I was harassing Kelly. Kelly Slater? Yeah. Kelly was at Pipe. And he's hitting me up and he was doing something. So he's calling me, seeing what I was doing, what I was able to do. But I was in camp, so I couldn't meet him. And I told him, I was harassing him. I was like, I'm coming to the surf ranch. He's like, let me know. We go to the surf ranch. I want to surf. I want to go to his surf ranch. It's
That's
so
up
sick.
Here, right? That's a couple hours from here.
Yeah. A couple hours. His one is in California. And
yeah,
like,
where's his near? It's like, it's near Fresno or something like that?
Central Valley, so.
Central Valley? That's like 2 hours from here or so? Something like that?
Maybe three or four.
Three?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks amazing, man. That's so a way
fun.
To learn how
you
to surf.
Go. Let's
Bro,
go.
I can't even wakeboard.
Wakeboarding is harder.
Is it?
Yeah, because you got to get your ass up on the thing, at least. Oh. At least this one you can paddle and kind of stand up.
Oh, okay.
Like, wakeboarding is kind of hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
But you're an athlete. Like, you can do everything. Come on.
With time.
Yeah.
I don't have no time to get into surfing. My fear of surfing... Look, this is the machine. This is him surfing with this thing. Like, fucking, how crazy is that? You can learn how to surf so much quicker this way. You know, because you don't have to fuck with all the things that everybody else has to fuck with, like waiting for waves. You could look at that. Look at riding that tube.
That's so,
that's so crazy. No sharks, right? No sharks. Good point. Very good point, Jamie. No turtles.
No nothing.
Yeah, but it's just you learn. It's all about the balance, right?
Yeah.
Like learning the balance.
They say that riding that wave is a little bit different, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a little bit different from like a normal wave. It feels a little bit different.
Like running on a treadmill versus running on the street?
Yeah. I think so. The power of the wave is a little bit more different than how it actually feel.
Yeah, a little more predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Fuck. it seems like a good hack, though, right?
Yeah, it is a good hack. I would love to.
Well, if you're a guy like Kelly, you know, that really know, or Shane Dorian, someone who really knows how to surf, that's probably
good
practice.
Yeah, just practice.
Just stay on it. How much do you think it costs to make one of those things?
Oh,
that's got to be
a
expensive.
Bunch.
Fuck.
It's a bunch, and then you need the motor or whatever that's gonna that thing. It looks like a train is pushing.
Oh, it must
you
be.
See the side?
Right?
Yeah, you see the side of it.
The one that they have in Waco is supposed to be bigger than that. Even the one they have in Waco is supposed to be gigantic. What are you laughing at, Jamie?
It's not cheap to visit.
How much does it cost?
It says customers pay $10,000 to surf for an hour.
Oh, gosh.
What?
That is expensive.
This is the ESPN.
Wait a minute. What?
This is the ESPN video they made about it where it says you can surf 100 miles inland for $10,000.
Kelly Slater trying to get...
Kelly Slater getting his money back real quick.
To have a lake in the middle of the desert that's clean and safe. And
right, but $10,000 for an hour? You can suck all the dicks.
Well, there's employees you got to pay for it.
Yeah, you can suck all the dicks.
Maybe you gotta heat it so it's not cold. Or
I got some cash, but I ain't spending $10,000 to surf for an hour. But if I was a professional surfer, look at the stars who have done it. Eddie Vedder, Tony Hawk, Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth.
The Thor. They had Thor surfing there.
Yeah, Thor went there.
You think Thor paid $10,000?
I think Thor
didn't.
Just, you know, used his hammer and just it's like, nah, you keep
hit
it to the
water.
I just go boom.
Yeah?
I'm here to surf.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, man. Is it really that much? That can't
Who
be
knows?
Right. That can't be right. $10,000 for an hour? Really?
I don't know. It was a YouTube, so maybe it might be clickbait.
ESPN's YouTube. Not that they're...
ESPN's
they're
not really clickbait.
100% legit source, but it's pretty
good
Well,
it must
one,
be
I'd
fucking
say.
Expensive as shit to run. But it makes sense. I mean,
it
look,
sense.
It's probably got a crazy motor that powers that fucking
thing. I feel like when he was here, though, he said it's private, too. So maybe, like, you have to call someone to turn it on. Like,
yeah. That makes more sense. To the public, maybe. That makes more sense. Well, that's probably how they keep people out. Listen, bitch, $10,000 an hour.
Yeah. Yeah,
I got to go.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll call my friend, see what's up.
Let me check him out. You see the way my account is set up right now? It's
All right, just for – I just Googled this just so we know.
Okay.
General admission tickets are $99 a day. Or $109 for a three.
That's a big.
Oh, see, that's a clickbait.
That was probably for a private.
That's a clickbait.
That must have been for the private stars. Were paying
that
much.
Oh, that makes sense. So if you want to use the whole thing just for yourself,
that's probably
okay.
That makes
a lot more sense. Sorry, Kelly. he's probably going, what the fuck, dude? I thought we were friends. $10,000, but that makes sense if you want to rent the whole
thing.
If you want to rent out the roller place, if you want to roller skate for a whole day, it probably costs you $10,000.
No way. I'd be like, no, come on.
If you want it all for yourself for a party, how much do you think that if you said, listen, nobody can come here, it's just me, I bet they would want a lot of money.
You think so?
Yes, man. I've rented out places for my kids. It's not cheap, man. You want to rent out a place like a bouncy house?
Yeah, we're in Hawaii.
We're in LA.
Yeah. You in LA too. We're in Hawaii too. So Hawaii's
things are expensive in Hawaii, man.
So you might be right,
dude. Lanai is crazy.
I just be like, come on. I know a guy. I know Joe Rogan. Yeah, I'll shout you out the next time we go.
We'll shout you out, man. Lanai, we were there. We saw strawberries that were like $7 for a little package of strawberries. I was like, whoa. But it makes sense. How the fuck are you going to get strawberries there? Yeah. Crazy.
It's probably like, I don't drink milk anymore, but it's about like $15 now.
But they were all telling, the folks who live on Lanai are telling me like Amazon Prime's the shit. They don't have to shop. Everything's flown into them.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Because the planes are coming there every day. Load up some of your stuff on planes. You don't have to, because otherwise they have to go to Maui or somewhere. You know,
shop. 100%.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you think you can live on one of them little islands like that? Because you live where a lot of people live. Like, you're in Hawaii.
Yeah, we live it far off. No. Hiker Hollow is only a couple hour kind of thing. You know what I mean? I'm going to keep it real for the boys. Hiker Hollow is a 10-minute video long for YouTube, my guys. After that, I'm right back to Gadget Holloway.
Gadget Holloway?
Yeah.
Are you into gadgets?
I'm into technology, my friend.
Are you really?
Yeah.
What kind of shit? What are you into?
Whatever. I just want, if
like
it's cool.
Phones and computers.
Yeah. Video games. I love playing video games.
Oh, man.
You know?
That's my kryptonite, video games.
What game are you playing?
Well, we were playing Quake Champions, but I got a real problem. What's the matter?
We wanted to get back in yesterday.
I was thinking about it yesterday. We were talking about it. I was like, one more game. We'll play one more game. I have a very
addictive PC-er?
Personality.
You're
PC-er? PC game. Yeah, mouse
keyboard. Too hard. I tried to do it for me, and then I was like, man, because I wanted to get into it, but it's too hard for me. Like, and then I get frustrated. I get frustrated like when people like
fuck you up.
Yeah, I'm like, guy, come on. Come on, guy. Send me location.
Send me location. That might be one of the greatest things that anyone's ever said when someone said they want to fight him. Send location. Send me location.
That was good. That was really good.
Yeah. Those little things, those little Xbox and PlayStation controllers, they're not as accurate.
No, see, not at all. About a mouse, not you can tell. Mouse like, so keyboard. I play. So I was playing when I was playing Fortnite. I was playing PC before they had crossplay. Mm-hmm. Now you can play with everybody on to your PlayStation 4. But I'll just put my controller in,
right.
and you could tell that like when I was playing with the mouse and stuff, like, you could tell the different accuracy was way different. Now you use your controller and stuff, the delay is like it's very small, but you can feel the delay like. I'm like, I turn around already, you know? Like you said,
it's just not accurate enough. And even with your movements, right? Like the movements with a keyboard, especially a mechanical keyboard, I feel like I could really calculate what I'm doing, like within like inches, centimeters.
That's dope.
You know? I
didn't know you was a gamer.
I was addicted.
That's awesome.
Super addicted. I used to play 8 hours a day. I used to play online. I had a T1
Did
line
you stream
installed
and stuff?
In my house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's dope.
Oh, yeah.
I
lived in in the wilderness, and there was no fucking good internet. So I had a T1 line installed in my house. They had to dig into the ground, took forever, lay pipes and shit, so that I could get a good gaming line.
That's so dope. You a legend.
I'm a moron, bro. I was playing 8 hours.
You are
a
legend
day.
Of morons. Yeah, how about that?
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's accurate. And I got to a point where I was like, I gotta stop. I quit for a long time.
I had to stop. I had to stop playing games because that's what I do. Like I'll train, be gone all day, get home, play for another 4 hours, like
and then not
screwing up my sleep, and whatever. So like even like because Modern Warfare came out during this during this fight camp. And like the new one, I was playing, and then I was loving it. And then like the last 3 weeks of camp, I was like, last 4 weeks, I was like, yeah, I gotta stop playing. Like, there's no way. Like, I gotta put this down. So I turned it down. Yeah, because like you just get lost track of time. Like, I don't play story mode. Like, I'm a guy. Like, I just want to get. I love Fortnite and then even Call of Duty because then you can you pretty much have all the same guns and you just get in there and you can just start battling with guys and like it's competitive, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's what I liked, you know, just being competitive. And then I was like, man, I need to get.
I didn't play for 10 plus years. And then we set up we had a LAN room in there, in the back.
Right? Oh, yeah?
Yeah, dude, it's a real problem. And so once we started playing, I was playing every fucking day, hours and hours and hours. Jamie, you had it for like, what, 2 years? And Jeff and I logged in more hours?
On just that game, yeah, for sure.
We logged in more hours in how long?
2 months? 3 months? Two months?
More than 2 years of him playing.
60 days, basically.
Playing 4 hours a day.
Yeah, he's not.
And that was just because I only had 4 hours a day. Like, if I didn't have to go somewhere, I'd have been there all night. I'd come here on days off. I'd come here, work out. I'd come here, hit the bag, do some rounds on the bag. And then I wound up playing 4 or 5 hours online. And I was like, fuck, I got to stop doing this.
I get a text, hey, what are you doing? You're busy. You want to play some games?
Like, I text Jamie, I'm like, come on, bro. Let's go do this.
It's just, the best, though.
It's
the best.
It's too crazy.
It is crazy, though. It's super addictive.
My brain is not
good
for that.
But you see what the kids
that.
Making now?
Oh, yeah, they're making real money.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Millions.
Millions.
Millions playing video games.
Fit plays.
No leg kicks.
Did you see? Yeah. Did you see what's his name? Sean O'Malley gave like, he gave 15 plays and he made like more, whatever. They were saying like, they did a comparison of how much he made, like 27,000, 27,500 in a
versus
Fortnite.
His fights?
Yeah, versus his fights. They did it. They compared it to his fights. I was like, what?
That's crazy. He could be a professional Fortniter.
Fortniter. Yeah. Hey, he's good too. I saw a couple of his streams.
Wow. He had to do something right. Didn't he get fucked over by a banned supplement?
Yeah.
Sean O'Malley says he makes around $4,500 a month through gaming.
Over a year ago. So it could be more.
Oh, he's probably making more now.
He just won I think it was $27,500. He gave it all to a charity.
Really?
He came 14th place or 8th place, something like that. But
good
he gave it all
him.
To a charity. Yeah, he's the man.
I like that kid
a lot.
He's
a legend, yeah.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Yeah, and then I think so. The thing that he got caught was with, I think it was marijuana or something. Like.
Was it?
No. Yeah. I think that's what it was.
Is that what it was? No, I think it was. I thought it was a tainted supplement.
Yeah, oh, was it supplement?
Yeah, I think it's. Jamie was saying that they're going to not test baseball players anymore for pot.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Good. Good. That's what we want. A bunch of stone people out there trying to catch a ball. Perfect.
That'd be terrible.
Maybe better. Maybe they know where that ball's going.
They took marijuana off their list, but they added opioids, which is
that's good
thing, but yeah.
That it was?
Oh, so opioids weren't on the list before?
Yeah, that's that was crazy. Like, wow. So people are like, hold on, what? What?
that's crazy because that's a real problem, man. That's a real problem. Opioids is the real problem, not marijuana.
That's great. That's heavy. Yeah.
Hawaii has a lot of drug issues, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
How'd you avoid that shit growing up?
I saw it. I saw, like, I remember, like, being, like, I think, we had to be younger. Maybe I was six or seven. My brother is one younger than me. I remember, like, my uncle coming into the bathroom and my mom was showering me and my brother and, like, just fighting with my mom. Like, they're fighting, like, fist fighting. And I'm like, you know, like, this is normal, though, you know? Like, ICE is, like, crazy in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And
ICE is meth, right?
Yeah, meth. And I was like, holy shit, this is nuts. And then I see, like, my friends and family, their parents or whatever, or even going to high school, they're... my friends doing this and that, and I'm like, guys, this is not for me. Like, I ain't gonna do this shit. Like, I see what it did to my family, how it affect, and some of my people I love as friends and stuff, families, and I was like, I ain't gonna do this. And then that's just why I just stayed away. I never, I never did anything. Never did no type of drug. Not even marijuana. Never tried it.
Really? Never?
Never did nothing. Yeah, to this day. No, I'm good. Okay. I'm good. But yeah, my
man. You seem like you have, though. That's what's funny.
Yeah,
you're like a laughy dude.
Yeah.
You're silly. You
know, I'm high on life.
Yeah, I guess so, man. You don't need it.
I don't need it. Yeah. So I just saw what a lot of people like. And then I stayed away from marijuana for the wrong reason. Because when you was in high school, I remember, this always sticks out to me whenever you talk about it. Is when you bring up the dog commercial about marijuana. It's like, hey, what are you doing?
I really wish you wouldn't smoke pot. Yeah.
No, you're not. You're not on marijuana if you're talking to a dog. That would stick with me for the rest of my life, Joe. You got me all messed up for that commercial. But
That's a bit from my, like, I think that's from 2009.
That's like my 2009
special.
Yeah. That's a long time ago.
Lindsay, I really wish you wouldn't smoke pot.
I graduated. That's when I was graduating. So that's when I was in school. Yeah,
Play it. Let me hear it.
Smoke weed.
But go back. Rewind it a little bit so I can hear the whole thing.
I wish you didn't smoke weed. You're not the same when you smoke. And I miss my friend. I'll be outside.
What the fuck were they thinking when they made that commercial?
You are not. I remember he's like, you're not on marijuana.
That girl's on cocaine and sleeping pills. Her fucking dog is talking to her. Not only that, she's not even reacting. If your dog was talking to you when you were high, you'd be like, fuck, you can talk? How long have you been able to talk?
If my dog was talking to me, I was like, wait. This whole time, you used the damn bathroom outside. What are you doing? You know what I mean? Why are you barking at me? Right. You know, if you want food, tell me you want to eat. You know? Right. So I'd go crazy with my dog.
It's just so, because she doesn't even react. She's like, huh? She's not freaking out. Yeah. She's not freak. You would freak the fuck out
if
Marshall started talking to me. I'd be like, what? Hold on. Do that again. I'd get my phone out. Yeah, that was a stupid commercial, man.
Yeah, but yeah, I just saw a lot of people like, and we got a lot of talented kids from our side, from one eye. Like, I saw guys, like, supposed to be in, I think, personal, they're supposed to be in NFL and MLB, or they're supposed to be greater things, you know, and just drugs and just other stuff, like, you know, that most of them is still at home. I still see them around town when I'm around town, and working a job they don't like, talking about the days when they was in high school and they did certain stuff, and I always told myself that's not gonna be me, you know, the older people that was older than me, and even with drugs too, I was like, this ain't gonna stop me, you know, like, I ain't gonna let this be it, you know, this ain't it for me.
So where did you develop, did you always have this mindset that you were gonna be great at something?
Oh, 100%. When So when I was ninth grade, I remember going from eighth grade to ninth grade, and I was going ninth grade. And one of my cousins, my older cousin, he was with me at this last fight. I thought he was supposed to be an MLB. And he wanted to be an MLB player. So I was like, I'm going to be an MLB player. So I go home. I tell my grandma, I'm going to be an MLB player. She's like, okay, good. But you know he got to go to college, right? I was like, yeah. And what's the problem? She's like, we don't have money for college. So you need to go get a scholarship. So I'm like, okay, dope. So I made school. I ended up graduating cum laude and stuff because I thought I was gonna play. I wanted to play MLB. I wanted to go to college, get a scholarship. But anyway, 10th grade came, and then was off the ending of baseball. I found fighting, and when I fought there was like only a week left in school, and then I fought. We came to school. I trained. I only trained.
Did you start with MMA?
No, I started with kickboxing. Mm. I only trained for 3 days. I trained for 3 days. Yeah, my friend told me, baseball this season just done. I went to train with him. I trained for 3 days. And then on the second day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so 4 days. So Wednesday I went train. Thursday I show up. They told me, my friend was fighting on Saturday. He's telling me, oh, Max. The coach told us, Max, someone dropped out. You want to fight on Saturday? You got to weigh 135. I was like, what? I was like, bet. I was like, I'll fight because I was going to go. I would have to ask my, but my story was I had to ask my grandma for $35 to get into the fight. Towards my friend kickbox. But I was like, I get to fight and I get in for free? Like, yeah, this is bet. You know what I mean? I would get him for free. I don't have to ask him for $35, you know?
You would train for 2 days and they asked you that. What kind of fucking coach were you going to that asked you if you want to fight second day?
He saw what out. We sparring already. I was sparring the first day. Second day came back. We was like technical sparring, but then we was doing, you know? Like, the first time I ever sparred, when I went with them, I got punched in the face. And the first thing that went in my mind, like, I got to punch this guy back. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to punch you right back in your face because that hurt. You know, and that's what we did. And then I ended up fighting. I ended up winning the fight. I remember going to school that following Monday. And I was telling everybody, this is when K1 was huge. This was 2007. I was like, I'm going to be a K1 fighter, guys. Watch.
They must have been like, when did you start training?
Last week. Yeah, I was like,
I already had a fight and I won.
Yeah, I fought it Saturday.
That sounds like a lie. Like, if you didn't know you, if someone told you that, like, hey, man, I was only at the gym for 2 days. They told me I'm good. I should have a fight. So I had a fight that weekend and I won.
Yeah, this is how, how crazy my mom was, because I wasn't 18. I was only 16. So I had to get approval from her. Like, she had to, like, tell the coach that I could do it. And she was like, I told my mom, they just asked me to fight. And my mom asked me, are you ready? I was like, I don't know. I don't know, but I want to fight. And she's like, okay, just don't get hurt. That's how crazy my mom is. You know what I mean? That's my mother. She's crazy. So she let me fight, and the rest is history. And then 2 years later, that's when BJ Penn was the BJ Penn era in the UFC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
BJ was fighting George. BJ went on that 55 streak. And then I saw how much he made after one of his fights. It was like $30,000. I was like, this is done. I was telling everybody when I was graduating, I was like, I'm gonna be a UFC champion. I told them I'm gonna be a UFC fighter. I was like, I'm gonna be a UFC fighter 100%. And then my older brother, he graduated from college. He came home, he's California. He went to California Arts Institute. And he came home, and I was graduating high school that day. And I was on his computer playing games. And he was like, well, you graduate. What you going to do now? I was like, I looked at him. I was like, I'm going to be a UFC fighter. And he did this laugh that I'm not going to ever forget. It's just ingrained in my brain. He's like, ha! Ha, ha, ha! And then he said, yeah, I don't know how that's going to work for you. So you better go figure it out, you know? And then that was 09. And then 3 years later, January 4th, I was at the hospital, and my son was I was waiting on the arrival of my son. I remember exact times, 10:03 a.m. I get my phone. My phone rang and be like, "Hey, check your email." So I go check my email, and it's a UFC contract to fight Poirier for February 4th.
Wow!
First, I hang up the phone. First person I call, my older brother. And he know I was there for my son, so for my son that was being born. And he picks up the phone. He's like, oh, he said, what's up, Max? I was like, what? He's my nephew here? I got no. And he's like, then what? And he's big into Visalis. And Visalis saying was, I told you so. Like, mm-hmm. There's this thing, like, I told you so. And I told him, oh, no. Guess who you're talking to? He's like, who I'm talking to? I was like, you're talking to a UFC fighter. And he glad. Ha ha! He did the same laugh. And then he goes, go ahead. You can tell me. I go, like, tell you what? And he like, tell me I told you so. I was like, nah, I just wanted to let you know. He's like, I'll call you when my son's here. And I hung up the phone. And then 3:03, my son was there. So January 4th was one of the best days of my life.
Wow. That's crazy. And then you fought Conor when you were like, what were you, 20 or 21?
I think I was 21. I think he's 23 or whatever. I think he's 2 or 3 years older than me. So I think if he was 24, then I was 22 or something, 21.
So that was your last loss, and then you went on a crazy streak.
Yeah.
You went on a crazy winning streak.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy, you know, when you see, like, Conor doing stuff, like, I'm a big believer in things happen for a reason, you know. Before that, we had, I actually remember talking to you after my first one was Bermudez, when I fought Bermudez.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a tough fight. I remember I ran into you at, where we fought? MGM. And you was leaving. You was going back home to LA or wherever you was going, and I saw you at the elevators. And he was like, oh, keep your head up, kid. So I thought you did enough. And I was like, yeah, it is what it is. He's like, yeah, you'll be back, though, for sure. And then after that, we fought Conor, and then those two fights really meant a lot at that time in my career, because it just made me, like, realize, like, how much I really got to buckle down. I really had to do something. I really had to find something. I didn't have a striking coach.
Until, really?
Yeah, like I had my first coach that I started with, like when I got into the UFC, was no longer, and I'm with I ended up doing jiu-jitsu with Ryland Lazarez, the coach I'm with now. He's been ever since the UFC, a little bit before my UFC fights too. And then I never had a striking coach for what, Dustin. Then we went on four, and then we went on two. So whatever, the one, five, six, seven. My first seven fights in the UFC.
So what did you do for striking?
You really want to know what I did?
Yeah.
You know the UFC game? I would use Henan Barral and Jose Aldo, and I would do stuff with them. I'd be like, oh, yeah, this works in the game. So my friend at the time, Dustin Kimura, he would kind of hold mitts for me, and I would be like, look, I tried this in the game, and it was working. Let's try it. And we did it. I figured it out from freaking UFC, the regular UFC game, the first ever UFC game.
What?
Yeah, with Henan Barral.
You would watch the video game.
I would play the video game and be like, oh, look at this. I would try the combination. I'd be like, oh, yeah, this kind of works, so let's try it. Why not? It got me that far.
That is so ridiculous. Wow. So then you realized you had to do something different after the Bermudez loss?
Not the Bermudez loss. Like, the Bermudez loss, we was trying to find a striking coach and this and that. And then the Conor loss, we was like, yeah, we gotta get this shit going. You know, my coach did, Ryland. Ryland was like, man, I'm going to pull somebody in. And then he bring in the guy that I work with now, Ivan Flores, my striking coach. And
he lives on the island as well?
Yeah, he lives on the island. We all in one gym now. We're all together.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it's like super easy now.
Well, it made a giant difference, obviously.
Humongous difference. Yeah. So it's, yeah, like big, big difference.
What does your brother say now?
Yeah.
All that, ha, 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 ha. What does he say now? You're the greatest featherweight of all time.
Yeah.
What does he say now? Yeah,
nothing. You know, I just
can't say shit.
Yeah, let go. Yeah.
Do you ever say, hey, man, you remember?
Yeah, I always, all the time. Yeah, I'm not going to let you forget that. Come on. I'm not going to let you forget that.
It's kind of hilarious, right?
It's funny.
Think about your younger brother telling you he's going to be a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
And he turns out to be one of the all-time greats. And you're mocking him. You're like, yeah, you're going to be a fighter, bro.
Yeah, he's
good
like,
luck.
Yeah, he said, this is exactly what he said. He said, yeah, good luck with that. He's like, yeah, you should start looking into colleges or some type of state job. And I was like, I was like, nah, you just watch. You just wait.
Wow. Talk about, like, calling it. But that's one of those things, like, someone tells it to you. Like, I'm going to be a UFC champion. Like, what are the odds?
Yeah, one of my friends, you know, like, Michael Nakagawa. Like, he used to train with Alpha Male because he went to UC Davis. Like, he got picked up from Uriah Faber then because of UC Davis and stuff. And that's why he got
to a wrestler?
Yeah, he's a wrestler. Yeah, a big-time wrestler. And then I remember the first time wrestling, going with him. And I was in the UFC already. And I was in the UFC already, and Chad was one of the top guys, you know, and Aldo. And then I remember my friend told me, Dustin Kimura, like, oh, yeah, he trained Alpha Male then, blah, blah. I walk up straight to him. I shook his hand. I'll be like, I told him, you know, I'll whoop Chad Mendes' ass, right? And then he was like,
wait, what?
I was like, yeah, I'll probably whoop Chad Mendes' ass. And he's like, okay. And this is after he just taking my ass down like 100 times in practice. You know what I mean? Like, he, or right before he did that. And then we practiced and he took me down like 100 times in practice. You know, I don't know wrestling too good. And then I still told him, like, I'll still whoop Chad Mendes' ass. I'm going to beat him. Like, this is how life goes. You know, I was like, I told him, I'm going to beat Jose Aldo. I'm going to be the champ. I was like, these guys they're not gonna touch me. And then you can ask him about the story. And he always told me, like, when it actually happened, he finally told me, he's like, yeah, Max, I was never gonna tell you, but I thought you was fucking insane when he was talking like that. I was like, no, this is a different confidence. You just gotta put it out in the world. You know, if you think you're gonna do something, go do it and go work hard. I wasn't scared of hard work.
You've always had this attitude, though. Do you know where you got it from?
I don't, like, my grandpa, you know, I guess it has to be from my grandpa. You know, my grandpa, he'd probably be mad. You know, he passed away when I was 8th grade. But he'd probably be mad that I'm a fighter because he didn't want us. He's an electrician, so he just wanted us to get a good job, a great job, family, a house, and all that stuff. But it's just him, hard work, you know. Like, I remember coming home from practices or school. Before you go out, we had to do all the chores, whatever. Every Saturday, Sunday, we wake up at 6 o'clock. He had breakfast. He had breakfast made for us, and we'd go out clean the yard before we could go do anything else. And he just had structure, you know, and hard work. Mm-hmm. And he's like, if you want to, we had to pull weeds, and he was just one of those guys that would find work out of nothing. like we'd be doing one thing, we'd be done, and it'd be done ahead of schedule. He's like, okay, perfect. I need you guys to do this. I was like, no. No, this is not it. You know, we could say nothing, but we'd get our ass beat if we did. But, yeah, I think it was just my grandpa, you know, like and it was just, like, sacrifices. Like, in high school, what I did when I was playing baseball and stuff, like, I gave up all my my recess and my lunches. On my lunch, we had tournament lunch and 50-minute recess, like, to do my homework. Because all I wanted to do was be an MLB player. So when I went out to practice right after baseball, right after school is finished, I remember just going on the field and not thinking about going home. I got to do homework or I got to do a project. A lot of teachers would help me out in school and that stuff and this and that. That's how I got cum laude. Like, I'm not the smartest kid. Like, I figured out, I hacked a lot of things going through getting in life. I hacked a lot of things. Like, one of the things in school, I realized that you sit by one of the smartest kids. I used to sit by the smartest kids. Every time I was in class, I'd sit by the smartest kid, ask them for help. They'd help me willingly. Like, okay, yeah, help me. And if I really got stuck, they'd be like, give me that. Take my work, do my work for me. I'm like, cool. Really? Perfect. You know what I mean? Like, okay, cool. And I just had to get like C's on top of my tests to get the grades, and I was doing good. Wow. You know, boy was in the money. So it's just about hacking life, I guess.
So you just learned hard work from your grandfather?
100%.
So what he made you do, and then he put it in your head that you could do whatever you wanted to.
He said if you want anything or everything ever comes from hard work.
Yeah.
You're not going to ever get gifted anything. And if you are gifted something, don't take it. Say thank you, smile or whatever, but go out and work for it or earn it, you know? He was one of those guys that if you gave him something, he always made sure he gave you back something. He didn't want to feel like he owed you, you know?
Maybe he would be upset that you were a fighter, but damn, he'd be proud of you.
Yeah, but I know that this is the number one thing. Like, so every time, like he was out of work, he's retired and stuff, and he'd every morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, we had a gazebo drinking his Miller Lite every morning, school day, weekday, every morning. Say, come home from school at 3 o'clock. He stood there drinking his Miller Lite, you know, like drinking a Miller Lite. So I know he's up there, wherever he is, whatever you believe in. I know he's looking down on me and just being like, he always just a stupid kid. And I know he's just looking at me and just, I know he's proud and stuff, but I know he's just like, you a dumbass kid. and it's cool. That's him, though.
Well, you know, it's just amazing what you've accomplished. It's amazing when you stop and think that you're still only 28, too. You know, you got a long way to go, man.
28. We got to choke. That's why it's funny. You know, like a lot of people is like, yeah, this guy's the future of the division, or this is the future of that.
He's older than you.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm a time traveler, guys, because I'm 28, you know? The boy is time traveling right now. When they tell me I'm the future, I'm like, so that means I'm from the, you know?
Yeah, most guys your age are not even fighting for a title.
Yeah, you know? I got in, like, it was cool to have stuff on this card. The Hooper kid.
Yes.
Because he's 20. Yeah. I was just like him when I came in. I remember, I told him what's up. I saw him. I said hi, and then I was talking to him. And then people was telling me, "Yeah, you know how old he is? 20." I was like, "Yeah, that's why I went to go shake his hand because I was that kid.
It was
like,
only eight years ago.
Yeah, and I was that kid. I shook his hand. I was like, "What's up, man? You know, like, nice to meet you. You know." And it's crazy because like when I was that age, I remember fighting in Vegas, the first fight in Poirier. I remember I was standing. I was watching people gamble, and then they're like, "Hey, can I get your ID?" I was like, "Oh yeah, sure." Show my ID to a card. They gave me back. They're like, "Yeah, you need to get the hell off the floor. I was like, "Why?" They're like, "It's a casino. You're not 21. You can just only walk through." I was like, "Wow, this is some bullshit." I didn't even know, you know? So I had to keep walking. I was mad.
Yeah, that's hilarious. You're old enough to fight, but you're not old enough to gamble.
Exactly.
That's the biggest gamble you could ever do with your life.
Exactly. And I'm fighting grown men.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm fighting grown men. Come on.
And it's a gamble. That's the real gamble. Fuck money, man. You're throwing knuckles and shins at people, trying to choke them. They're trying to choke you. That's the biggest gamble a person can take. Yeah. That's wild. You have crazy fucking cardio, man.
Yeah.
Your cardio is very impressive.
Genetics.
Is it genetics?
Genetics.
It's got to be a lot of hard work, too, man. I've seen you do
hard work.
Run with the sail.
Yeah.
All kinds of. What kind of shit do you do for strength and conditioning? You have a separate strength and conditioning coach?
Yeah. Yeah. I got this guy named Darren Yap, Tactical Strength and Conditioning, out in Oahu. And He's one of the best guys out there. You know, a lot of coaches I say, like, people don't know my coaches because I don't really, like, they don't really like me talking about them. Like, really? every time they hear me talking about it, like, come on, guys, like, don't stop saying that. Like, they just want everything to me. That's how this team is. Like,
that's
crazy. They just want everything on me. They don't want people to know. They don't want.
You're very lucky.
Yeah.
You're very lucky. Blessed. Yeah, very blessed. There you go.
I'm blessed.
You got the best nickname.
I got some of the best guys behind me. They don't want to know, but yeah, it is hard work, you know, and then just.
How often do you do it? Like when you're in camp, how many days?
I do strength and conditioning at least four times.
Four times a week?
At least four
really?
Times.
And what kind of shit are you doing?
I lift weights for sure, and then we do cardio stuff. Like, we try to balance it, you know? Like, you got to have. One of our favorite sayings is you got to have go muscle, not show muscle. You know, you see some of these guys that, just like how you said, like, they just rip and look amazing, this and that, but they're like tired in like 30 seconds.
Right.
You know, that's show muscles. You know, we got to have go muscle. So I do a bunch of some days heavy lifting, some days circuits, some days sprints, different type of running. I like running. I like jogging, but.
Do you run on the beach?
I like running on the beach. You know, the beach is pretty fun. But it's kind of irritating. I like swimming. I do swimming here and there, but it's all different type of muscles. You know, we make sure we all sit down. We do, and we talk about the goal at hand, and then we make the training around it.
So when you're doing 4 days a week, he's scheduling all this stuff for you, like figuring out what you're gonna do.
Oh, so I have, the boy got it easy. The boy got it so easy, like. My manager, him, the couple coaches, I got a couple PT guys and a couple doctors. They're all in a group text. They all got my my calendar, and they put everything in there for me.
So you just gotta listen to them when they tell you what to do.
At my calendar the night before, and I know where I need to be with addresses, times, and everything.
Wow!
So life be good, you know. Life be really good at that. They spoiling me a little bit.
That's beautiful. So 4 days a week you're doing that. Are you doing that in the morning?
I like working. I like doing that before. I like if I am doing it on that day or whatever day I do strength and conditioning, that's my first workout of the day. I like I hate when I see people do the jiu-jitsu training before, and then they go try to do stuff. Like, that's not gonna happen. Like, it's backwards. Like,
why is that?
Because I believe, like, you're getting tired and stuff, and then you go strength and conditioning, you're not gonna be able to give your full. Like, mm-hmm. You cannot push on a weight thing. Like, if you got to lift heavy or do cardio stuff, you can't push when you're already tired.
Right.
But because you got, like, it's a cardio thing, or there's weights involved or whatever, a treadmill. But when I'm in jiu-jitsu, I can mentally push myself to break. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I can go without really getting hurt.
Right.
But then if I go to do jiu-jitsu and I got to lift, I can't, like, what I could do before if I'm fresh versus what I can do now is, like, it's totally different. You're not getting stronger. You're not getting anything, but you can get mentally stronger or whatever, or smarter or whatever, and you can figure things out when you apply it. Like, I'd rather be tired going to any type of jiu-jitsu training, wrestling training, or kickboxing training versus going to versus the other way around.
There's a lot of jiu-jitsu gyms like Carlson Gracie's. They used to do that. They used to have a real hard workout before you would train. Before you would train, you'd do bear claw, bear crawls.
Yeah, the warm-up. Yeah,
all kinds of push-ups, sit-ups, and different kinds of drills that you would do, like strength and conditioning routines. And you would do that before you would ever get a chance to train. So you'd be exhausted by the time you trained.
Because you got to figure it out. Because this is like, if it's just me, you know, like with this point system, this and that, I always try to finish fights no matter what. Even if you're the best guy in the world, I'm going to try to finish you, and you're always going to see me in your face. I'm not going to go away, because that's just it, you know, like if we fought to death, like, if there's no time limit, I'm going to kill you. Like, that's just my mindset. Like, there's no way. I'm going to figure out a way to make you tired and make you quit. And when you quit, you know, may peace be with you to the next one. But at the end of the day, that's what it is. That's why you should be in that moment, because if you're fresh and stuff, everybody can be the greatest fresh. But there's the special ones that know how to figure it out when they're not there. Like, when you're tired and you're dead tired, you got to go that one more round, the extra minute, you figure things out. And that's what separates the greats from the greatest, you know? That's just the difference, I think.
Well, that's always been a real signature of your fighting style, is your endurance and your confidence in your endurance. So you could push through. Like, I'll never forget the rematch with Aldo when right before the second round, you came over to us and you went, "The man's tired." I'll never forget that.
He's tired.
But you were hyped
up.
Fun.
It was funny because I felt him going already. And then when I came by you, and I was like, "The man's tired." Because I knew. I was like, "This guy's done. He's done." And he came out. I remember he came out fast. He came out fast with like a straight right, left hook. And I was like, "Ooh." I was like, "Maybe he might not be." But we're going to find out right now. And then I pushed it a little bit more. And I was like, "Okay, yeah. That was a little smoke screen." That's what he had left from the little minute he got to rest, you know?
He couldn't fight that. His style is so explosive.
Yeah.
He couldn't fight that way with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a perfect example of how styles make fights.
I like what you said. Like, I went in a dog fight knowing that I'm going to come out of the dog fight. Like, that, I'm going to bring the fight to him. And that's what we knew, you know? Yeah. I knew that
You forced him into a wild fight.
Yeah, I knew that if I got into a couple of slugs with him, every time I came out, my battery would probably drop 2%, but he's dropping like 30.
Why is that?
The dude is genetically gifted with power. With power, you know, and I knew that I was in here for a long game. And if you watch a lot of his fights, that's the cool thing about him. Like, I got to watch him when I was 16. I've been watching him 16, and now I got to face this guy. Like, I always told myself, like, even before I was in MMA, I was like, I want to kickbox this guy. If I could fight him for 5 rounds, I could beat him in a kickboxing match. That's just what I told myself, you know. That's just the belief you need to be great, you know, and keep pushing. And because you just watch him, you can just see him get tired over time, you know. After he win the first 3 rounds, fought fit, he just coasted.
Yeah. Yeah. The gifted with powers, so true. Because those guys who are gifted with power rarely have the
cardio.
Same cardio.
Like, there's a lot of guys there that I just think, like, gosh, I wish I had your power. If I could just have... Give me 2% of your power.
Right.
I would love that, you know? But and we work, you know? I'm working for it. I'm trying to get it, but just God-given. Like, this is different. Like, there's some guys, this God-given power, they just touch your chin, boom!
Yeah, people's but there's something exploding. To be said for the kind of endurance and the style that you have, that style of constant pressure, but...
I like this, my style and stuff, like, I like it because, like, when you do knock out someone... They can always be like, "Oh, he just caught me." You know, like with the Aldo and stuff, the first one, that's what they were saying. They was like, "Yeah, Max, you was losing the first couple rounds, but you just caught him." So the second time we did it back, we run it back, and I had to do what I had to do. You know, I wanted to show everybody, look, I'm here for real. But that's why I like my style. Everybody's like, "Yeah, you do good." But I'm like, and what? Like, if you knock out somebody, like catch him early in the round, say 5 seconds in, knock him out, you can be like, "Yeah, you just caught a lucky punch." Even if it was the most calculated punch in the world, you know, even like with the Conor thing, like, this is a lucky punch. It's not a lucky punch. You know, Conor is in the back practicing it. You know what I mean? Like, you see, it wasn't a lucky punch, but people are going to keep telling them, "No, it landed, it's lucky, blah, blah, blah." So it's always going to be whatever, you know, over your head, whatever. But the way I fight and stuff, I just want to just outclass you in every single way that I possibly can and show the world, like, look. You wanna wrestle? Yeah, try and get me there. You wanna do jiu-jitsu? Yeah, take me down. Let's see if you can get me there first. And then if you wanna do the striking thing, yeah, let's do it. You know, I just wanna show the world that, look, I'm better than you in every aspect. So like mentally, that just screws with someone. You know?
Do you think that a guy that has the kind of power that Aldo has can ever have the kind of endurance that you have?
For sure, you know.
They would have to fight different.
Yeah, for sure, you know. But in their back pocket, it's just tough because. Sometimes when those guys' mindsets, I feel like with the guys who get knockout, who has knockout power, their mindsets, they turn to like, I just gotta land this.
Yep.
So that's why, and then you get tired in there. Like, because then you're mentally fatiguing yourself because you're thinking about it, like, oh shit, I'm having bad, no, now I just change it. I gotta turn. And then now you start thinking, you start getting tense, you start looking for that one shot, you start missing that shot. Mm-hmm. And like, even when I fought Aldo, you was calling a lot, like, look, he's like, he's whiffing. Like, when you miss a punch and your body goes with it, it's tough. It's tough to recover. Tiring. It's like, oh my gosh.
Exhausting.
And then you don't put in the extra 5% that might get you more tired because you're thinking like, why? Like, I just missed. Where is this kid? You know? Yeah. Like, what is he doing? And then I'm back right on you, you know? So, or anybody. Like, they're back in your face. Like, I'm here, you know? Knock, knock. Hello. You thought I left? No, I'm right here.
That style, that's like Colby Covington's style is very similar in the sense that he has a crazy volume. You know, he's not hitting you 100%.
No.
Like, I talked to him after the Robbie Lawler fight. I go, I go, "What? How hard are you hitting? Are you hitting like 60%, 70%? He goes, "Yeah, somewhere around there, 60, 70. He goes, "I'm just putting it on him. Just yeah. putting it on him. Just keeping on him. Just staying on him. That Robbie Lawler fight was a perfect example. He just kept that pressure going, kept that pressure going.
Super smart, yeah.
Robbie never got a chance. Never yeah. had a chance to unload. Never yeah. had a chance to fire back.
And he and Robbie's one of the power punches. They look for it.
Yep.
So
yep.
when you get that stuff, they're looking for it. And it
never comes.
And it misses because they're in their mind like, "I can't. No, don't worry. I don't. It's not this one. The next shuffle." And then the next shuffle comes. Like, no, I got the next shuffle. You know, like they keep saying the next one, but it never
the comes. Opening was never there yeah. for him. The opening was never there for him. That was why it was so interesting to watch him versus Usman, because Usman has a crazy gas tank too.
Yeah.
Usman's weird, right?
That was crazy. The boat was just, you know, like pretty much punching each other, right?
Yeah. I mean, right in front of each other. It was basically a kickboxing match. I mean, I don't think there was any takedown attempts, if I remember.
I don't remember really watching.
I don't remember any takedown attempts. Very few low kicks. You know, Usman threw a lot of kicks to the body, a lot of front kicks to the body in particular. His body work paid off big time.
Yeah.
You can see Colby really faded in that.
Body work, baby.
Body work, man. Yeah. I mean, the front kick to the body, too, that was money for him. And that left hook to the body, too.
Nice.
You know, he was digging. Nice. Oh, that was actually right hand to the body, right? Because he was fighting orthodox. Yeah. Colby was fighting southpaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that's a wild fight. That was a wild fight because Usman's got power yeah. and he's got cardio. He's yeah. got both things.
Yeah.
But yeah. just smart use of his energy.
When you got that, like I said, it's just a mental thing. A lot of the guys that have the power is just, they just kind of cut it off sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't rely on the other, like, "Yeah, let's get back to work and right. do this," you know? But Usman is like a wrestler, so he's in his mind, he's like, "I can wrestle too," or "I can." So let's just do this wrestle pressure thing with just punches.
Yeah, I would see a rematch of that fight too. That fight would be very interesting to see a rematch because that fight was super fucking close and competitive, particularly on the judges' scorecards.
Once you get fight at night, then you know it's competitive. That's gonna hate it. Everybody's like, "Oh, yeah, let's get fight at night." I was like, "No. Let's not get fight of night. I don't want to look competitive. I want the fight to be like, what is going on, you know?" That's my thing, right? You know?
Like the second Aldo fight.
Yeah, I want people to be like, "Wow, this guy, what's next?"
Yeah, he's never going to beat him. You want that.
Yeah.
You want that feeling.
Exactly.
Well, I remember thinking that too because Aldo was a last minute replacement.
Yeah.
And in the second fight in particular. Yeah, he was. And you were like, "It is what it is."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Do you know how crazy it is that this guy is talking about the greatest featherweight of all time? He's talking about fighting him again. He's like, it is what it is."
I'm like,
that is hilarious.
If this is the guy you guys think is the greatest, let me fight him. Like I said, like everybody keep asking me about, "Oh, you ready? Do you want to do a Khabib fight after seeing what he's doing?" I'm like, "Is Khabib human? He's human. He's human just like me and you. If you put me in the octagon, I'm going to fight him. I'm a fighter. And that's just it. You know, at the end of the day, I just want to be the greatest of all time. And he's the guy there. You know, he's one of the guys there. He's one of the guys that stood undefeated in MMA. It's impossible to do. So why would you not want to fight someone like that? That's the thing that blew my mind. Even when people was like, "Oh, you think it's so short notice?" I'm like, "Guy, like, this is how legends are made. This is why people remember your name, you know?" And they're like, "Oh, why are you doing this?" So I wouldn't. I was like,
champions in MMA is John Jones is not defeated.
Yeah, he's not.
He's got this one bullshit loss, you know, that was one of the dumbest.
Craziest thing. I remember you saying that too, because like he was already finished. The fight was done.
Yeah, he stopped him.
Yeah. The fight was already done before the elbows even came into it. Because his like when he dropped him, that's when the guy shoulder popped out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Matt Hamm was just staying still already. Right.
He's getting crushed. He was getting crushed in that fight. It wasn't a competitive fight at all. John was smashing him, and then the fact that they gave that as a win to Matt Hamm is just bananas. Doesn't make any sense. At the very least, it should be a no contest. He should be undefeated. Yeah. He should be undefeated. Yeah. It should be a win. I think it should be a no contest.
Yeah, exactly. Like he already the fight was done when he did the trip. And he popped the shoulder.
He was smashing him. Look, this fucking rule is dumb. This 12 to 6 elbow rule is dumb.
I don't understand how I can 12 to 6 you for standing up, like jump. Right. If I jump in the air and I like, what is that, Tony Jaa you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's legal.
It's legal, but then once we go to the ground, it's like, I don't understand. I don't see what is the difference of both of it, you know?
It's an old rule, and it was brought together because John McCarthy said that they were talking to the commissioners when they were first starting to establish rules.
Yeah, you said they broke ice, right?
Yeah, they'd seen one of those ESPN things.
You don't see people break ice with punching fists down?
Right, they do that too.
Kicking?
They use their head.
They hit butt, you know? Like,
it's dumb.
Some guys do it like this.
Yeah, it's a dumb rule. But anyway, the bottom line is John is undefeated.
Yeah,
100%. And then Khabib's undefeated. And who else? What other champion is undefeated? I don't think there's another one. Cejudo's been beat. Who else? You know, it's Khabib. Khabib's the only one as a champion.
The only one.
Yeah, you know, Usman lost his early fights.
And Bender style, is he undefeated? No.
No. Well, he's not. He's undefeated in MMA. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, but not in kickboxing.
Yeah. No, he lost to Alex Pereira, that fucking demon.
He's listed as undefeated for MMA.
Stylebender.
Stylebender is.
So it's Stylebender, John Jones, and Khabib. Yeah, so he's undefeated in MMA. I think he's only got one or
China.
Two
is
losses.
Is the China girl, the China champ?
Wei Li Zhang.
Oh, she got one.
Zhang Wei Li. You have to say it backwards now. Zhang Wei Li. Does she have a loss? She's
not on this list.
She's not?
Racist. It's like a list of all undefeated fighters.
Okay.
So she probably has a loss early in her career. She's a monster, man. Woo!
Yeah.
That's big, too, for a girl like that to be that good and represent China. Yeah. You know, China's so many people.
Yeah.
It's huge for the UFC.
Huge.
When she fought that girl, Jessica Andrade, too. I mean, Jessica Andrade is a beast. You know, for her to starch her like that in the first round. Very, very impressive.
That was crazy.
It's a crazy time for the sport, right?
What a time to be alive.
It's awesome. So, how do you feel like right now? Like what happens now? You relax for a couple weeks and then you concentrate on a rematch. Is that what happens?
We see what happens. Whatever. I don't know. You know, I cannot say, oh yeah, the rematch, blah blah, this and that.
It has to be a rematch.
If the UFC wants, yeah, if the fans want, we see what happens. I would love that. You know, I'm a competitor.
Yes.
Everybody's like, oh, yeah, he don't want to rematch this and that. Or I'm like, is he stupid? Is he dumb? I want to fight this guy. I got losses on my record. I want to fight every single one of them again. You know what I mean? That's just how I am. I'm a competitor. We compete. And if it's the rematch, it's the rematch. You know, if it's not, if it's a different weight class. If it's up a couple weeks, I don't give it. Yeah, I just want to be the world's best fighter ever, and I want the most interesting fights. If you guys want to see me fight somebody, let me know. You know, like, whoever you want to see me fight, you guys think is real gangsters, whoever you guys think a real gangster fight is, let me have my chops at him.
Beautiful. I love that attitude, man. That's one of the reasons why you're so popular. It really is.
Thank you.
It's beautiful, man. And fun to talk to you, man. I really enjoyed it. We finally did it.
We finally did it, brother. I'm still going to ask you every time after the fight. We got to keep it
Anytime,
going.
Anytime, man. Let's keep it going. After every fight, come on in, man. Every fight in Vegas is real close.
Roger.
Come on in.
Roger.
Follow him on Instagram. Follow him on Twitter. Max Holloway, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, brother.
Thank
Appreciate
you, brother.
It.
Thank you.
We did it, Max.
Oh, that was good fun.